Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, and thank you for joining us, folks all across the planet. I always enjoy hearing from the listeners, and so we're going to have open phones in the earlier part of the broadcast today. And then later in the show, we are going to have Dr. Ron Paul, Congressman Ron Paul, on the transmission on this Thursday edition. And then the grandfather of the Fully Informed Jury Association movement, Red Beckman. He hasn't been with us in about 5 years. Last time I talked to him, his wife was very ill. He wasn't in good health. But now he is back stomping around on the talk radio circuit and also at events across the country. I saw a video online, a YouTube clip of Red Beckman a few weeks ago at an event, I think in South Dakota, and giving a speech, and I thought, my goodness, Red Beckman is out and about. And so we have got this icon coming on the radio show today. Been fighting the New World Order for 50 years. Red Beckman, guy's a World War II vet. He has been around a while. He'll be on the show with us today, and of course, Congressman Ron Paul. Before I get to all of the important news on the economy, on the drug war, the police state, Barack Obama telling the Democrats that Israel and the U.S. are probably going to go ahead and hit Iran, the White House telling the media, hey, don't think that we're not behind Israel hitting Iran. That's just some of what we're going to be going over today. But I thought before Ron Paul joins us and before Red Beckman joins us, do something a little different. I do this every few weeks. Open the phones up early in the first segment on any issue you want. You want to ask me a question? You want to tell me I'm wrong about something? You want to disagree? You want to agree? You want to tell me that you know I'm in league with the king of Pluto under reptoid control? Whatever you'd like to call in about, you are welcome to. Complete and absolute grab bag. I always love taking your calls because you bring up so many great questions and comments and points and also freakiness. A lot of freakiness. Always interesting. It's good to get the brain percolating there. 1-800-259-9231. 1-800-259-9231. And we'll get you up and on the air. One program note, and that's why this kind of stuff will give me gray hair. I'm not nervous about being arrested by the New World Order, by being potentially imprisoned or killed by them someday. I get nervous about events that I'm supposed to put on, like that scholar symposium out in L.A. with that hotel sucking off of me and all the stress of setting it up and flying all the dignitaries, the speakers in. That just about drove me crazy. And then Willie Nelson on the air talks about having a concert and says, yeah, let's do it at this location, and it's on. And then a few hours later, uh-oh, actually that date's not good for me. Let's do it on another date. Then scrambling for a date in Austin with a big venue, when he's going to be here. We have found a place. It is now set, at least for today, and in October. And there are some big wigs reportedly going to be coming, but I'm not, until the plane tickets are bought, hotels are set, until the venue is absolutely confirmed, we're talking 2.5 months away. I'm just going to let this lie dormant for a few weeks. Knock on wood, it's happening. I've been told absolutely confirmed in the schedule, done deal. In fact, the location is actually booked already. But I'm just going to leave it alone for a while, ladies and gentlemen. And it's going to be exciting. We'll tell you about it when that time comes. But I have to mentally just get it out of my head because it's driving me crazy. You'd think impending depression and Iran war and all this would upset me. No. Putting on a Willie Nelson concert and friends, that, worrying about that drives me absolutely up the wall. So I'm putting it out of my pea brain. We'll be right back.
Lazarus he came with a ragtag band to bring a revolution. Some would make him king, others couldn't stand for that. The cross was a solution, but he rose again. Wise men follow him, but he rose again. Wise men follow him. Thank God for the renegades and the lions they lead.
There are a lot of people who claim they're conservatives who say they want law and order.
Without the renegades.
But we don't have law and order. We don't have a Constitution and a Bill of Rights, a Declaration of Independence that's in force. We don't have a country. We're just more dirt. Another banana republic.
They railed against the crown. Another ragtag band declaring independence.
Declaring independence.
Laid their bodies down
in a bloody war.
On a bloody war, and liberty for their descendants. Thanks to the renegades.
Everything we've got's because of them.
We're free today. Thanks to the renegades. We're free today.
We'd be just like Mexico.
Thank God for the renegades.
Or communist China.
And the lives they need.
Or Angola. If it wasn't for those renegades,
Lord knows where we'd be.
In 1215, at Runnymede Field, in 1775 at Lexington and Concord, July 4th, 1776, in Philadelphia, in Independence Hall. Thanks to the renegades, we're free today. Who are the renegades in the world today? That's the question. We'll let Steve Voss ask it.
Where are the renegades in the world today? Who are the renegades in the world today? Thank God for the renegades and the lives they lead. Far ahead of their time.
I salute you all.
Without the renegades.
Of the renegades against tyranny.
Lord knows where we'd be.
And when it comes to heroes,
heroes,
renegades are mine.
When it comes to heroes,
renegades are mine. When it comes to heroes, renegades are mine. Not basketball players, not football players, not George Bush, the drug addict, not Bill Clinton, the rapist, not Barack Obama, the puppet, or the little demonic traitor to this country. John McCain. No, they're all people that sold their souls to the New World Order. Not me. Never. I will never turn against the weak. I will never attack the decent and the honorable. I will never try to steal and control. That's what we face, though, and they have trained us. Think about how we've been trained to accept evil, to accept corruption, to accept being pushed around and bossed around and dominated. Think about it. In fact, John, I forgot to ask you at the start of the show. You got the clip off of local Austin news about the behavioral screening they're doing at the Austin airport now? When you listen to this little newscast, and they're doing similar newscasts all over the country, introducing it to you, if you want to know, it is Israeli behavioral training that they have gotten. But what they do is, if you're sweating or you have a stomach ache or you don't like them prodding you or asking you questions, or you just got a call, your mother's had a heart attack, or your father has just been diagnosed with cancer, or maybe you got a phone call that your brother died in an automobile accident. It's a lot of what travelers are out doing. And you're going through, you're upset, your neck's hurt, your back's hurt. Maybe you got gallbladder stones. Maybe you got kidney stones. Maybe your ankle's sprained. And because that's what they list, grimacing, sweating, looking nervous. Well, oh, see, now it's not enough to, we're going to search you and we're going to scan you and we're going to walk you through scanners that scan your naked body and store a 360 image of your genitals. Your children are going to be scanned in our Homeland Security databases for a biometric fingerprint. That's what it is. When they first announced it a decade ago, of course, the defense contractors manufacture the four different type of devices they're selling. They all do the same thing. It's a type of radar. They bounce it off you. The same thing police department's been getting for a decade to look through your walls with handheld devices or on helicopters. They've got more versatile units. They give special forces that they can tune skin deep, flesh deep, through walls, through concrete. They can look in on your organs with them. By the way, it's not good for you, of course. Kind of like they always said x-rays were dangerous, and even a chest x-ray was dangerous, but they have x-rays that are hundreds of times stronger at the Canadian and Mexican border with the U.S., and they have citizens drive through the high-powered x-rays. And they have the police, the ICE technicians there, standing just a few feet away in a little shack getting radiated, and they'll all die of cancer, their teeth falling out, blood running out their noses. They don't care. Just like the government now says DU is good for you. And they'll use it and serve it out and now use it small arms at military bases all over the country. Not enough to bomb the Iraqis and the Serbs. And the Afghans with it. Now it's just going to be everywhere. But I digress, and I'm going to go to your phone calls here in a moment. It's not enough to make you walk through the body scanners. It's not enough to have them question you. It's not enough to, oh, don't bring toothpaste, don't bring water, don't bring any of these things. When explosives experts have gone on record saying it would take hours and hours in a bathroom, and it would stink to high heaven to pour liquids together and then to crystalline produce the, quote, type of explosives they're talking about. 4 to 6 hours, maybe. They know it's not a threat. The government carried out the attacks. Now, the idiots at the TSA, they don't know that. They're just on little power trips, or they're not on power trips. A lot of them I know have emailed me. They're fans of the show, running to them at the Austin airport. Oh, heard the show yesterday, Alex. Have a good trip. That happened last time I flew out. When I went up to Bilderberg in Virginia, they just need a job. A lot of them are retired vets, just need a job. $12-14 an hour. So, they're now going to have behavioral. Now they're going to be watching. And this is nothing more than dog training. This is to prepare you. This is to acclimate you. This is to train you to accept being questioned on the street, questioned in the schools, questioned at your work. And they're announcing all the new divisions of secret police and children trained to spy on their parents and environmental climate cops from the United States to Germany, from England to Australia. And you'll be arrested if you take more than a four-minute shower. They're trying to pass a law in Australia and meters tracking that. And you heard about California wants to make you have a tracker chip. It's in the legislature now, on the verge of passing when I saw it a week ago, to make all new thermostats and then by 2011 make you retrofit them in your house, hundreds of dollars apiece, where they're radio controlled. See, first it was, oh, the cities now monitor your water with radio readers. They're in my neighborhood. Little antennas sticking off the poles. Oh, well, guess what? That also is going to monitor your thermostat. Then I learned that the thermostats in my house have the chip in them. And then Weldon in the office a few weeks ago said, look at this in the newspaper. And then he took me online to the city of Austin, which gives you rebates for taking these. And there's a program you sign up for where they give you cheaper power if they can control your thermostat. I mean, anything to get involved in your life. Worse than 1984. It's all around us. And I have a friend who is in security. I'm not going to say any more than that at the airport. His brother works somewhere that I traffic. And he was came in when I was doing the, what was the Access TV, when I was doing that show about a year and a half ago, and he goes, man, Alex, you should have seen it today. He goes, we're watching for it to come on here in a minute. Just a few hours ago, News 8 Austin, the local Time Warner channel, we have a local Time Warner channel, 24-hour news channel, they were down there, and I watched them sit there and interview more than 40 people. I stopped counting at 40, and they all said, we hate the fact that we can't carry our water on board and our shampoo and our toothpaste. This is ridiculous. Then I saw one old lady, because he was involved in all this, involved in organizing the interviews, the people that would talk. And this one old lady says, I love it. If you have nothing to hide, what's wrong with doing it if it keeps you safe? And he said, he goes, watch, she's going to be on. And so I go set up for the show, come back, I got 30 minutes till showtime, and they're jumping up and down going, look at it! Oh my God! Total New World Order! It's Russia! And they're laughing. And there's the old lady saying, I mean, he knew. He said, she'll be on the news. It's the same thing here. It's that's how they sell the sheep. Everybody in Austin doesn't like this. I mean, maybe one out of 40 likes it, but that's who's going to be on the news. And they found one of these idiots yesterday. We'll play this little clip to analyze it, critique it, and then take your phone calls. I'm Alex Jones. Stay with us.
West farmer, I make a living off the land. I ride a John Deere tractor, I'm a liberated man. The rain, it hasn't fallen since the middle of July, and if it don't come soon, my crops will die. The bankman says he likes me, but there's nothing he can do. He tells me that he's coming, but the clouds are coming too. He ain't my friend, and I'll ride again.
All right, let's go ahead and play this local news piece from Austin and just listen to the propaganda. A completely staged piece. They find the one gullible person who will say they love it with the classic cliche, if you don't have anything to hide, what's wrong with it? Here it is.
Airport security isn't just concerned with what's in your bags anymore. They're now trained to assess what's going on in your mind. TSA screening looks for involuntary physical or psychological reactions to indicate stress, fear, or deception. All new at 6, KXAN's Jenny Hopp tells us, travelers think of being watched and judged without even knowing.
Well, we all know what you can't bring on planes, but what if security starts looking for something intangible, such as psychological distress? TSA says it's something that's necessary to keep you safe on planes. It's a security measure rolling into airports across the country.
I disagree with the idea.
One that's supposed to detect what you can't with a quick scan or unlock with the flip of a zipper.
If Austin wants to become an international airport, I think it needs that kind of a security measure.
They're called behavior detection officers, TSA employees who are trained to clue into a traveler's psyche.
We're not just looking for things anymore, but we're looking for actual people.
They're looking for people who display stress, fear, or deception.
Some people get nervous about smaller things than others, so I don't think nervousness and fidgetiness is a good idea.
There are certain thresholds that this individual needs to meet in our behavioral detection program. We don't just see someone who's nervous and pull them over to talk with them.
TSA says there's no profiling involved in the screening, and officers go through a week-long class that includes cultural sensitivity training.
No one wants a rights infringed upon, but if you're not doing anything wrong, what are you worried about?
So we've heard what others think about this issue, but what do you think? We've set up a forum where you can voice your opinion. It's attached to this story at KXAN.com. At ABIA, Jenny Hoff, KXAN Austin News.
So go to KXAN.com and let them know that you don't appreciate their skewed newscast. Now, 2 years ago, the federal training began on this, and they phased it into the bigger airports. Now the smaller airports, the medium-sized ones like Austin International Airport, it's a tiny airport, is having this put into place, just like they started 6 years ago putting in the body scanners at a few of the larger airports, LAX, Chicago, New York. Now they are Boston Logan. Now they're moving in to the smaller airports, and they're saying they're going to put body scanners in Austin. Houston's got theirs. And this is training you to be questioned. This is training you to be interrogated by the secret police, and it's now being phased in on the streets of America as well. And, of course, I'm sure that many of you have been seeing in the news the last few years that statin drugs are killing people. It isn't helping your cholesterol. Cholesterol isn't bad. It's all lies. Messes up your liver, causes all sorts of heart problems, screws up your arteries. You're saying, what does this have to do with being checked at the airport? Well, they always say they want to help you. They want to protect you. Prescription drugs, just the wrong combination of prescription drugs, according to the American Medical Association, kills more than 300,000 people a year. And they put the human papillomavirus live cancer vaccine out that's killing all these people and doesn't protect you from cancer. They don't care about you. The government doesn't care about you. They want to suck off of you and train you how to be a slave, period. And they've got lots of well-meaning idiots that go along with it. It's like when I had Ted Nugent on yesterday, and he said, yeah, if you've got some marijuana, I want to SWAT team you, you lazy scum. He was dehumanizing them. No, the government made drugs illegal so they could have a prohibition, so they could control it and make larger profits on it, just like they did with alcohol. And the great threat of black uniformed local mercenary forces busting down doors looking for marijuana and killing people every week at the wrong house. You see it in the news every week. We're sick of it. We're sick of the scourge. We're sick of you in the name of keeping us safe from marijuana raiding everyone. We're tired of, look how much we put up with. Look how much worse it's getting every day. Meanwhile, they're ordered to release drunk driving illegal aliens. Again, they could care less about you. It's about sucking off of you, raising revenue off of you. And it's despicable, and it's a total and complete joke. A one-week course, that's the federal course, 1 week, and now these idiots at the TSA are mind readers. It's unbelievable. Okay, I know I told you open phones, and Red Beckman doesn't join us for an hour and a half, so we're going to your phone calls in about 15 minutes when our next guest joins us. Ron Paul was going to be on in the fourth hour today, but instead we're going to have him on Monday at the start of the show with a huge exclusive announcement here on this radio show, which we're very thankful to for with Jesse Benton. So Ron Paul won't be on today. He'll be on Monday. But we can give you another big exclusive about the Parallel Convention and a three-day rally they're going to be having in Minneapolis, St. Paul. And I wasn't going to go to that, but because I'm going to cover the DNC. But I think I may just go ahead and go and broadcast live from there. But the big announcement, ladies and gentlemen, there'll be another big one Monday here with the congressman, but there's a huge announcement that Jesse Benton can make today here on the show. This is the first time you're hearing it, and Jesse, we're very thankful for this exclusive. Tell folks about it.
Well, sure. Thanks, Alex. I'm happy to announce, and we'll be rolling this out later today on a video on our website, campaignforliberty.com, that Governor Jesse Ventura will be joining us as a featured speaker at the Rally for the Republic on September 2nd.
That is fantastic. Now, tell people the itinerary, the basic itinerary now. There's other huge guests coming as well. We'll announce Monday. But tell people the itinerary, where it's being held, and basically what they're going to witness.
Sure. On Sunday, we're going to have, Sunday the 31st, we're going to have special leadership training right there in St. Paul. Then on Monday, we're going to have more leadership training, roll out the Campaign for Liberty Grassroots Organization Plan, and then have a Ron Paul celebration concert with Jimmy Vaughn, is an invited guest, is likely to confirm.
No, Amy, I talked
Allen.
To Jimmy. He's going, yeah.
Cool. And then country music star Rocky Lynn will also be performing for people, and that's going to be a celebration at the Blaine Sports Center. Just, you know, Ron Paul, Liberty lovers out there just getting together and having a good time. Then on Tuesday, September 2nd, is the Big Enchilada. We are going to have an all-day event at the Target Center. It's where the Minnesota Timberwolves play basketball, state-of-the-art NBA arena, going to be set for 15,000 people. We're going to have Barry Goldwater Jr., Bruce Spine, Doug Weed, Grover Norquist, Jesse Ventura. It's going to be hosted by and emceed by NBC's Tucker Carlson. Of course, Ron Paul is going to give a big speech. And right now, Amy Allen, I think most of your listeners know, is going to perform for us. And then I believe Monday we're going to be announcing another really big guest that's going to perform for all of our friends.
And a huge.
Yeah, it's going to be big. Alex, I already have 71 RSVPs from media outlets wanting to cover this thing. A New York Post reporter told me off the record yesterday that if we fill this arena with 15,000 people, it's going to be a legitimately bigger national news story than the RNC itself. It is absolutely tremendous. We need to fill this thing. We need to send a message that we want to take our freedoms back, and that America wants liberty. We want our Constitution.
Well, you guys, there's only 15,000 tickets. You've already sold half of them, more than half, haven't you?
Yeah, we've sold nearly 8,000 tickets. There are two ways we can arrange it. We can arrange it with 13,000, or we can squeeze in another 2,000 if it looks like the interest is there. We think the interest is there, and we just want everybody to go ahead and start buying these tickets.
Are you kidding? This is more than a month away. I mean, yeah, people better get their tickets now. It's going to sell out. Believe me, folks, it's going to sell out on Monday.
I know you guys have a great. Yeah, we think Monday is going to give us a nice bump. Also, wanted to let everybody in the Minneapolis area know. I know GCN is headquartered up there. You don't have to pay the Ticketmaster handling charges if you don't want to. You can just go to the Target Center box office and get them for $17.76 and not have to pay that Ticketmaster $5.95 service fee.
Yeah, but and it's expensive to rent this place too, folks, so be sure and support.
It's $250,000 to rent this place, and the talent and everything like that. This is $1 million-plus event that we're putting together. This is first class all the way. This is something that I is really announcing to the country that the Liberty Movement is here. It's here to stay, and it's going to grow.
And that's what this is all about. I mean, we've had the victory. We asked Ron Paul to run, for better or worse. He ran. He got major attention. He carried the ball for the cause of liberty, woke up so many people, energized so many people, and then now on the universities, they're not caught in the phony neocon paradigm or the left-wing communist paradigm. They're talking about the private Federal Reserve. They're talking about not being in wars. They're talking about national sovereignty. They're talking about true free market issues. They're talking about the North American Union and the New World Order, and Robert Pastor at the CFR just panicked and said that our movement is killing their North American Union in a press release on Monday. So much is happening, ladies and gentlemen, and we asked Ron Paul to do it. You stepped up, and I want everybody to know, this has been a huge victory. I mean, this has been a giant victory. We need to keep this momentum going.
Yeah, we really do. We really do. We have to look at Dr. Paul's presidential bid as the first step in the revolution. And now launching this campaign for liberty on September 2nd, this is step two. You know, we're going to continue to organize. Dr. Paul is going to be there to provide leadership and guidance. We have to identify new leaders to step forward and to assume bigger roles. And, you know, people listening out there, people that really are liberty-minded, I think we all have to keep in mind that we almost have an obligation. You know, we have an obligation to our fellow Americans that, you know, we've been turned on and we've been enlightened, before the rest of the people. But, we have an obligation to, in a respectful, positive, energetic way, spread this message, educate people, and turn them on, because that's how we're going to save our country. We owe it to ourselves, our family, our friends, and our fellow Americans.
Absolutely. Well, you guys have been selling tickets for like a week, and you've already sold half of them. And, I mean, it's, folks, get your tickets now. Give them the websites.
You can go to www.campaignforliberty.com, and that'll link you right over to rallyforthe.republic.com. Rally for the Republic has some great information on our program. We have a lodging board where we've booked hotel rooms to rent, campgrounds. Supporters around the Minneapolis area are opening up their homes and for free or for a very small fee, renting out special bedrooms. There are all kinds of ways to organize transportation, ride shares. You can do it. You can get there.
Well, the great part about Minneapolis-St. Paul is there's so many little towns around it. You know, because the RNC coming in, a lot of stuff is booked up. Unless you look at a little town 20 miles away or a campground or all these little fishing lodges. I mean, take the whole week up. Go catch walleye and Great Northern, as I've done up there.
It really is a beautiful town. And one other thing, too, is, a year ago, all the RNC folks stepped in and booked every single hotel room they could find in St. Paul and Minneapolis. But looks like attendance is going to be down at the RNC and the DNC.
They grab big blocks. The same thing's happening with the DNC, which is going to be more attended. They grab huge blocks, and now, right now, they're turning some of those blocks loose.
Yes, they are. So there are hotel rooms for the taking up there. If people are intimidated and think they're not going to be able to find a place to stay, that is not the case. You'll be able to find places everywhere from, you're right, a hunting lodge or a campsite to a four-star hotel. They're available right now.
And again, there's just hundreds of little towns all around the Twin Cities, which are going to be wide open. So if you try to book something now and it looks like it's full, just pick a town 30 miles away and then check hotels in that town, and they're just going to be all over the place. And again, there's thousands of lakes and ponds and areas up there where for 50, 60, 70 bucks a night, you can get a little fishing lodge, and then you can rent a little aluminum boat with your fishing poles and go out and catch some walleye while you're at it. So I wish I had time to go up there on vacation a few days, because Ted Anderson, who's born and raised there, he knows where all the fish are at. Let me tell you.
It's a beautiful area up there. It really is, Alex.
Oh, it's unbelievable. We ought to see up on the border up by Ely and up there right up on the Canadian border about 2 hours north, but we don't have time to get into that. I want to cover a few other issues before you leave us, Jesse Benton. Talk about some of the main things Ron Paul's focused on right now with the Campaign of Liberty. Everything he talked about coming true with the imploding dollar, with globalism, and the way he's grilling Bernanke every month in the House Banking Committee.
Yeah, sure. Well, I think one thing that we can all be pretty excited about is I think pretty much everybody in the freedom movement has been responsible for not killing, but really toning down the excitement about the HCON Res 362. It was a bipartisan bill that would have basically been a sense of Congress expressing the desire that we needed to blockade Iran, and we don't need to be doing that. Iran isn't a substantial military threat to us. And you want to see oil go to $400 a barrel overnight? Let's start blockading Iran.
Paul is saving everybody big money by that. As soon as that blockade started getting shot down 2 weeks ago, you saw oil prices drop by $30 a barrel.
Yeah, and I think we can all look right now, and people in the freedom movement, I think we can look and see that as a major victory. It was people out there that are turned on to the cause for liberty that really helped kill that. It's still looming out there, but there's no sense right now that it's going to be coming into the floor anytime soon. And we can look to that as a real victory.
And that was the escalation they needed to go ahead and have the strike. So we're trying to really stop World War III here. Every major analyst we've had on said that if the war with Iran started, they're going to blast Israel with thousands of conventional missiles, our ships with thousands of conventional missiles. They've got 11,000 of a type that will go 150 miles out into the ocean. They brought the carriers in close enough to be hit. We are defending the Republic here, and I think all liberty lovers, all of us in solidarity, we need to be really patting ourselves on the back right now, but understanding the fight is far from over.
Absolutely. This is a victory, and we can all be happy with it, but we can't become complacent because we won one little victory. There are going to be a lot of battles in this war.
Now, I'm seeing a lot of pundits and people on the Hill and people privately saying liberty is getting a lot more clout now, and people are really listening to Ron Paul more than ever. His coalition is getting bigger on the Hill. Bob Barr is now sounding just like trying to imitate Ron Paul, which his history doesn't really completely show that. But at least we need to commend him. He's coming a long way with the testimony he gave in the abuse of executive power hearings last week. Jesse, can you talk about that?
Sure. Sure. The executive power really is probably one of the biggest obstacles that we face to our Constitution. And, I was speaking with Bruce Fine the other day, and he was talking about how, it really is our military footprint around the globe that really threatens to continue to expand executive power. The thought that we need to be out there policing the world, very much flying in the face of what John Quincy Adams warned us about, that America shouldn't be going around the globe looking for creatures and dragons to slay. What we need to do is protect our own borders, tell anybody that, if you're going to mess with the United States, we will incinerate you. If you really threaten us, we will take you out, but what we're not going to do is we're not going to police the world, we're not going to go around and tell you how to live, and we're gonna try to live in peace with everybody. And I think a lot of people are really waking up to the fact that the expansion of executive power is a really a great threat. I mean, the president now wears the pants. Congress abdicates their authority, their constitutional authority to do things like declare war, to spend money as the people decree it. And it really is one of the most important issues facing us out there. We have to get back to a real series of checks and balances.
Absolutely. Well, this is going to be an incredible event. Just a few more questions. We're going to let you go, Jesse. I'm running you up to the break because I want to talk to you before you leave behind the scenes one more time about some of the things that are developing here. But, Jesse, if we buy the official 9/11 story, just hypothetically, the government was blindsided, that fairy tale. If we buy that, the Pentagon told the White House, they knew, that's come out in Pentagon memos, that this was going to really create real resistance, and they call that terrorism, that this was going to energize Muslim extremists, that this was going to destabilize the whole region, and now it has done that. So for those that say we need to go into more countries and bomb more nations, the entire military brass, all the analysts, the CIA people, they said it would destabilize things and actually create real terrorists, and now it's done that. So Ron Paul is vindicated again when it comes to saying, do not escalate, do not go attack countries. And I want you to comment on that, the destabilization it's caused, and then B, how it's destroyed America's name worldwide. I mean, we are now seen as the bad guys.
Well, unfortunately, the White House's own numbers back up exactly what you're saying. Al-Qaeda was not in Iraq before we invaded. Right after the invasion, the White House projected there were about 1,500 Al-Qaeda linked terrorists in Iraq. Now the White House is telling us that they have killed approximately 10,000 Al-Qaeda targets in Iraq, 10,000 terrorists. So their numbers right there tell you that there were none. Now there are 1,500, and they've killed at least 10,000, and the threat is not done yet. So it's pretty clear that our foreign policy does indeed have blowback, and that we are undermining our own security, creating more terrorists, and providing incentive for these crazy Islamists to recruit young people and to subvert young people and put ideas in their heads that they wouldn't necessarily have. We're undermining our own security.
Well, I agree, but they just call Shiites, Sunnis, anybody that resists is called Al-Qaeda, and that's come out in congressional hearings that the whole thing is just a complete joke. But that really was the plan, to go in and create a greater crisis to then offer a greater solution. And Ron Paul has said he is afraid, especially with the blockade, that would give the White House a much better chance to provocateur some type of Gulf of Tonkin.
Well, I'm not willing to go quite there about trying to provoke a Gulf of Tonkin, but I will say I think it's pretty insane that we are going and arming Sunni extremists that used to be our enemies. We're arming them and giving them weapons to fight the Shia. I just don't understand that at all.
Well, the leader was the number four in Al-Qaeda.
It just doesn't make any sense to me. We're just 2 years ago they were our enemies, and now we're giving them weapons to go and fight people that we think are our enemies now. It makes no sense to me.
Well, that was the same story in the 1979, Jimmy Carter's Zbigniew Brzezinski arming the Afghans to start fights with the Russians, and the Russians invade, and then we go and arm them, and then that's my point, is that this is crisis creation. This is continuing to add to that. Okay, in the minute and a half we've got left before we go to break, and then in this interview, Jesse, I want to talk about some of the other actions, not just the huge event coming up in early September in Minnesota. What are some of the other things the Congressman's doing right now?
Well, he is concluding business on the Hill. Of course, he's been a pretty big vocal opponent of this Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac buyout. You know, that's our national debt was, what, $9 trillion? And then we just assumed about $6 trillion more dollars in debt by taking on the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. You know, as long as you continue to let this bad debt fester, it's just going to get worse. The only way to take care of bad debt is allow it to be liquidated, and it's painful. But the longer that you put off the liquidation, the greater the pain is going to be in the end. That's one thing that he's been really speaking out about. And the other thing that he's been getting a lot of attention for was, you could find this on our website, and campaignforliberty.com, wrote a speech, Something Big Is Going On, and he is very, very worried that we're going to see a major slip and a crash in our financial institutions and our economy, where we really do see the dollar plummet, and we really do see a real economic crisis like we haven't seen in 100 years in America. And he's been trying to speak out against that, and a lot of people have been paying attention. He was on the Glenn Beck program twice, and several other major media outlets covering the speech. So it's really great to see that the mainstream media is paying attention.
All right, give them the website again to get tickets right now.
www.rallyfortherepublic.com and www.campaignforliberty.com.
Yeah, rallyfortherepublic.com, gorgeous site, really interactive, easy to navigate. Check it out. Okay, Jesse, I'm going to talk to behind scenes here for about 2 minutes and let you go. For everybody else, we're going to come back, take your calls, I promise, and cover the news. Stay with us. Live, ladies and gentlemen, Monday through Friday.
Dogs walk a man of hate.
Live from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Oh, we don't discriminate.
Central Standard Time.
Discovery is to be disowned.
You're looking for the tip of the spear in the info war. You found it. What we do here is dedicate ourselves to liberty and freedom, standing up for the innocent, and defending the Republic from enemies foreign and domestic. All right, J. Dave, Harold, John, Ann. I know I said he'd go to you earlier in the hour, but then the Ron Paul thing shifted on us, and that's always happening. He may even pop in later today, but I told him I didn't want that. They offered me the Monday exclusive big announcement here, and I'd rather just have that coming up Monday. But who knows what's going on up there on Capitol Hill. I need to get that message to them that we don't even need him on today. Monday, it's set. It's locked in. That is coming up Monday with Congressman Ron Paul. And a big announcement. There's a big already a lot of big folks going. When I said Jimmy Vaughn was going, I talked to him the other night, and I think he said on the phone he was going. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, he's going. But it's a huge, huge Monday. And, of course, you just heard it here announced, Jesse Ventura to be at the Ron Paul rally and three-day event. I need to call, I'm sure they're listening, Steve Watson. Paul Watson just got back last night from vacation. I need to call Kurt Nemo. We need to get a big blurb out that it was announced here, Jesse Ventura to speak about liberty and freedom at the Ron Paul event here, another exclusive. I just love breaking news here. And it is going to be a big deal of 15,000 people, which there'll be way more than that. I mean, they're getting nervous, only selling half their tickets in a week, and it's a month out. Let me tell you, you could have a stadium with 30,000 people. If you've already, with less than a quarter of the time burned before the rally, only sold 55% of the tickets as they have, let me tell you how this works. Everybody's going to rush in, and they're going to try to buy the tickets the last 5 days, and they're not going to be there. So I'm done talking about that. I don't know if I'm going to go, because it becomes a distraction when I show up at these events. and I get mobbed, which is fun, and it's great to see people, but I just actually don't like being the center of attention and distracting from things. But I may go up there and be on a radio booth if Ted wants to set that up. But I don't know. Then I'm going. I've already committed to go to New York on 9/11. I'm going to be in Denver for the DNC, because that's where the real fireworks are going to be, folks. That's where you're going to see the hardcore tyranny. That's what the safe money's on. So I'm going to be there. Before we end this hour, I'm a filmmaker, and that's where we're having the biggest effect out there in the info war. You can download all of my films: Terror Storm, Final Edition, Final Cut, Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, Truth Rising, my newest film, Cinema Verite style, no voiceover. It's good, folks. Very well done. Very effective to wake people up. Go to InfoWars.com. We got huge discounts where you can get my films as low as $5.95 a piece. DVDs. Professionally produced. And then that also supports us and makes what we do here possible. I mean, I think my films are important enough that you actually own a copy of them and then make copies of them and give them out to people. InfoWars.com or 888-253-3139. You can also call that number, get the mailing address. 888-253-3139. Don't wait for the info war. It's up to you to join in.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are in process of developing a whole series of techniques which will enable the controlling oligarchy to get people actually to love their servitude. People can be made to enjoy a state of affairs which, by any decent standard, they ought not to enjoy.
Perhaps you had better start from the beginning. Perhaps you had better start from the beginning. Perhaps you had better start from the beginning.
Too many kids are what's making planet worse.
A lot of these kids come from bad gene pools. They don't have stable parents making good decisions.
Mercury-containing vaccines may help, not harm, kids, according to two new studies in the journal Pediatrics. These new studies suggest that the opposite, that the preservatives may actually be associated with improved behavior and mental performance.
Fluoride in water is supposed to fight tooth decay, but could it also cause cancer?
Turns out the government had the right under U.S. law to conduct secret testing on the American public under specific conditions.
We have to work the dark side, or we're going to spend time in the shadows.
Any attempt to achieve world order must be the work of the devil. Well, join me. I'm glad to sit here at the right hand of Satan.
There's a need for a new world order. Someday, in the next few years, a solution will emerge.
Let's go to Jay in Florida. Jay, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Alex, no problem. Unfortunately, I'm laid up at home with a bad back, so I can afford the hold today. But I really enjoy your show. I think you're doing great work, and just keep it up. I have a suggestion and a question, if
okay.
I may.
Okay, go ahead.
The suggestion, I don't know if you caught Jesse Ventura Monday night on Hannity and Combs.
No.
Did you catch that at all?
No, I didn't.
Pretty good. He was talking about how the government's fascist. You know, he was going back and forth with Sean Hannity, and he sounds good. My suggestion to you, Alex, is maybe you, because you talk to him, maybe you can become some kind of a 9/11 consultant to him and get him brushed up a little bit, because he seems a bit nervous and he kind of fumbles a little bit with the information. Seemed like he was doing that a little bit with the Howard Stern interview as well. I was wondering what your thoughts were.
I think he did a great job. I mean, he's seen all my major films on 9/11. He was, I talked to him last week, he was asking me different questions and asking me what I thought of different, I don't want to get into private discussions. The point is, he's a smart guy.
Right.
And the first film he got was Terror Storm.
Mm-hmm.
And First Edition. And then I talked to him again about 8-9 months later, and he said, yeah, I'm looking into it more. My son wants me to watch Loose Change. He saw that. Then he bought, as he said here on air, more than a dozen books.
Mm-hmm.
His words were more than a dozen, and he read them on the subject. He's reading an advanced copy of the new book that's being worked on by David Ray Griffin.
Right.
To write a foreword to that. And so he is really immersing himself almost to the point where he probably has too much info. I have that same feeling on 9/11
right.
when I'm on these interviews. Like, what do you cover next? How do you have time with them interrupting you? I mean, you're on these shows. You got two hosts. You're on national TV. A lot of times you're in a studio with a camera aimed at you 2,000 miles away from them with an earbud, with a second delay. And so it's easy to second-guess people. I think a few months ago, that Hannity and Combs interview he did was just absolutely amazing. One of the best I've ever seen. I didn't see this one. I thought the Howard Stern was pretty powerful. He fumbled on PNAC, but, you know, he's like 60 years old or about to be. He's a smart guy, and so, you know, that's the bottom line there. And he's going to be at the Ron Paul event. So I wonder how the Ron Paulites square that. Most of them are truthers, but the leadership doesn't want to get into that politically. I mean, you heard Benton, Ron Paul, talks about Gulf of Tonkin staged events here on air, but Benton won't even go there. They're trying to play it safe.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Red Beckman joining us in 55 minutes. Let's get to your calls throughout the hour. I'm going to take a ton of them. Dave in Ohio, you're on the air.
How's it going, Alex?
Good, sir.
Hello. Alex.
Yes, sir. You're on the air worldwide.
Oh, how are you doing today, sir?
Good.
Good. I just want to thank you for everything that you're doing, man, and you're doing a bang-up job. I've been following the stories on the cops, you know, the one that the kid got tased 19 times, you know, broken back, unconscious, and I followed seeing the other video with the New York cops beating the guy on the ground with a metal baton. I don't know if you had heard or not, but there was a story I had seen this morning from Lima, Ohio. The SWAT team had raided a house of a guy that was supposedly to be a known drug dealer. Okay, they had went in, and there was a woman in there holding her one-year-old son, and they shot her in the neck and the chest. The boy was hit, and his finger was amputated. And the SWAT officer said that he couldn't see in the hallway what it was, but the forensics had shown that she was actually, the angle of the bullet, that she was actually on her knees, probably leaning forward, and he's only being charged with negligent homicide.
Yeah, I've got the story. Lima police officer takes stand in own defense in fatal shooting trial. That happened a few months ago. And they shot the baby, and they admitted they just fired into the dark. They shoot first, ask questions later. If a chihuahua, and I see this all the time in the news, runs up barking, they go ahead and cap it. I have been at houses in Austin where the Austin SWAT team, I've gone and covered it in the aftermath, blood everywhere, and they'll just bust in a chained-up lab will bark, and they shoot it, spray bullets into babies' cribs. Thank God in the Austin case didn't kill the baby. There was another case last week where they went into a house, fired their guns, didn't shoot anybody, but then pepper sprayed the baby. And it's just, they've created mad dog killer arms. They're radically expanding them with federal grants. They're now militarizing just your average beat cops, and it's a huge military gear up against the American people. Meanwhile, you have organized crime, Russian gangs, but predominantly, and I'm not picking on the Mexicans, it's just that's what it is, MS-13, and other groups killing cops, firebombings, Los Zetas, Mexican paramilitary, killing law enforcement, and nothing's done. It's just covered up. So it's not about the officer's safety. It's about letting the slaves know that we are owned by them. And, yeah, the officer is being charged with very, reduced charges, and it's disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, he's only facing maybe 8 months in jail if convicted of both crimes.
Well, killing a woman who's unarmed and shooting a baby is an A-OK thing.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to make that point and just hope you guys cover that more, and I know I will be.
Absolutely. All right, thank you. You know, it's disgusting. I'm here reading the story, and I was already aware of it, but just refreshing my memory. And I don't go around looking for these stories. They're just everywhere. And half the time I'll be at home at night researching, and I can't even read another one or watch another video. It's not like, oh, goody, I get to bash the cops. It's like, man, I want to be on their side. I want them to stop what they're doing. I want this to quit. It doesn't help us to be in fights with the police. It doesn't help the American people to hate the police. But what are you going to do? It doesn't help the police to be our enemies. It's not going to help us to have some bloody war with them or some civil war. It'll only help the New World Order. And it's just they're going to keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And then the average cop who is just out responding to burglaries or to alarms or bank robberies or liquor store heist or changing people's tires. I still see that occasionally, or out raising revenue. I mean, look at the statistics, police, and you can pull them up for yourself. They're different in every state, but they're similar. You have a much better chance of being killed in a car accident or being hit by traffic than you do by being killed by somebody, being shot or stabbed. But police are just scared to death of citizens. I was driving down the highway yesterday here in Austin, and I saw a state police officer about a half mile ahead of me, but I got really good eyes, and it was 360 going down a big hill, and I saw him way ahead pull out behind, I think it was a red Sunbird, one of those little convertibles. And there were these two old women. By the time I got up closer, I saw this happen. By the time I got to him a half mile ahead, he was out of his car and walked up to him. He had his hand on his gun. He was acting all paranoid. His body language was like he was sneaking up on Genghis Khan and or Osama bin Laden. It's ridiculous. They're in just a state of panicked fear of the citizenry. Meanwhile, I'll see motorcycle cops every day on Austin highways hanging their butts out in the highway. And then the citizenry all nicely try to get over and go around them. But sometimes you'll go around a turn and there's a motorcycle cop or a cop with his butt hanging out in the road. I mean, you know, if you're going to be afraid of something that really threatens you, okay, more than people with guns. Let's go ahead and talk to Harold in New York. You're on the air.
Yeah. I called you last week about my story about the Boyd Graves. Remember?
Yes, AIDS and...
I wanted to finish it, but I knew you had to take a lot of calls. But, the day I told my cousin that, right, like a half... I swear to God to you. I swear to God. I'm going to show you the letters because I have wrote...
No, sir, I believe you. But listen, that's probably just an Army helicopter flying around scanning houses for marijuana grow lights. Everybody gets scanned. They didn't send a helicopter to intimidate you because you told your family member that the government engineered AIDS.
Listen. I've had people put bags next to me, and I had to move away real quick, and then they would go get the bag real quick. I swear to God.
Well, you may have had local police trying to set you up. That does happen. It's turned out that more than a third of people on death row are completely innocent. And look, I appreciate your call. I got to move on, Holland, or Harold. I appreciate your call. John in Wyoming, you're on the air.
Alex?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we have a gentleman here, Dr. Michael Holland, who is a friend of Ron Paul's, who is running for the lone Wyoming Congressional House seat.
It's funny, I just called Harold Holland, and then I go to you and you bring up somebody named Holland.
Yeah, Dr. Michael P. Holland, and he is just as well-informed and brilliant as Ron Paul is, and I've known Ron Paul for 36 years and supported him for all that time. And he is running in our primary, is coming up in less than 2 weeks here in Wyoming. And he was on a local talk show, a radio talk show here by telephone hookup yesterday. And boy, oh boy, besides my call, everybody was calling in and saying just how great he was because he knows all about the Federal Reserve and the New World Order and all of the hanky-panky that's going on with our corrupt federal government. And he is the only true constitutional conservative we have running in this race of either party. He's running on the Republican platform, but he's running against about three other well-financed people, you know, insider Republican Party stooges. But we're going to be supporting him and doing the best we can. And meanwhile, back on June 29th, the local paper here in Cheyenne, the Wyoming Tribune Eagle, published my letter to the editor, where I lambasted Bush and Cheney on their phony war on terror. And I pointed out about Presidential Directive 51 and Presidential Directive 59 and this and that on and how the TSA body scanners examine the most intimate part of your private parts before you're allowed to board the plane. and how they're loaded onto a hard drive to create a database and all kinds of interesting things there. And meanwhile, of course, they leave the borders wide open for any terrorist to walk across the border anytime they want to, while treating Americans as terrorists, particularly if you're an old lady and you walk onto an aircraft with a nail clipper.
Well, this is another example of your earlier comment about solutions. There isn't a magic bullet, a silver bullet. Writing letters to the editor. Maybe you write 10 before they publish one, but then thousands see it. Or going on newspaper, take the Houston Chronicle. Millions of readers. You can go comment in any of their stories. You can put websites up. You can educate thousands that are reading it online. I mean, we have to invade cyberspace, invade talk radio, invade the print papers. We have to go speak before city councils and county commissioners. And this is how we're doing it. And we have the majority. We just have to go out and engage in the information war, and you're doing that.
You bet. And that's another thing, too, is, by the way, there's a new book that's out that I'm reading. I'm about 68% through the book. It's called All Hands Down, The True Story of the Soviet Attack on the USS Scorpion. Because not long after I was discharged from the submarine service in early January 1968, of course, the Scorpion went down. And for 40 years, the government has been lying and saying, oh, it was just a bad overhaul in the shipyard, when in fact it was a Russian torpedo that sank the Scorpion with 99 men aboard, thanks to the help of that spy, John Walker, who sold out America to the Russians for a price. And this is a fascinating book, recommended reading. It's by Kenneth Sewell.
Okay, listen, I appreciate your call, John. Ann in Iowa, you're on the air.
I'm a longtime listener.
Welcome, Ann.
And I subscribed to your Prison Planet a couple weeks ago, and I sure would encourage everybody to do that if you want more Alex, everybody. I want to hear more about S-1959, while we can still talk, the Violent Radicalization and Homegrown Terrorism Act.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've had hearings where they put 9/11 truth groups up to Al-Qaeda training tapes and say they need to prepare to find out what needs to be banned in America, what speech needs to be banned, and it's just more of the secret police apparatus that's growing up around us. They can't have the American people exposing that they're terrorists. They can't have us exposing their drug-dealing criminals, money-laundering criminals, child-trafficking criminals, and look, it's too late for them. It's over, criminals. You've been exposed. You're illegitimate. The jig's up. Come out with your hands up.
Right, now we have the unclassified Army regulation, civilians inmate labor program, so that we can continue to provide them with cost avoidance.
Yep, slave labor.
You said, sir, Prison Planet.
That's it. It is a Prison Planet. We appreciate you and your membership there for 15 cents a day. That pays for a lot of what we do. In fact, it pays for the whole internet side of the operation. So prisonplanet.tv, you can, not just more Alex, all the other films we've posted there, all the other information, all 19 of my films, hundreds of TV reports, hundreds, really thousands of interviews now. It's been up for more than 4 years, prisonplanet.tv, and it just gets better every day. We'll be right back. An important tidbit from earlier in the radio show today. Had Jesse Benton on from Ron Paul's campaign to tell us he's going to make a big announcement on this radio show next Monday. So he'll be on next Monday with us instead of today. He's up on the Hill. A lot of crazy things are going on with legislation. The big news was, and I'd heard rumblings of this, Jesse Ventura will be one of the big speakers at the three-day event they're having, the parallel convention they're having, up in Minneapolis, St. Paul. I'll be speaking about liberty and freedom and how the country's going into fascism. So really the headline, we're going to put a blurb out, should be Jesse Ventura joins the Ron Paul revolution. And, we'll be there as one of the main featured speakers, along with a lot of other big musical guests and others that are to be announced. So that is an important piece of info for everybody, and we're excited that we can break that news here for you. Jesse Ventura, who's just been coming out big time for 9/11 Truth and so much more. Let's go ahead and talk to Rod in Oregon. Rod, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex.
Hi.
Hey, great job again. Appreciate everything you're doing as well. Hey, there's over 1,000 subjects we could talk about, but one thing that's been gnawing at me for the last week is what in the world is going on with this Karl Rove scenario? I mean, here this guy's got indictments out on him, apparently, or whatever, and four people go in to try and make a citizen's arrest, and they arrest these people and haul them off to jail, and then they have this indictment against this senator up in Alaska, and they're trying to nail him to the wall. And now, I mean, doesn't this wake people up? But, of course, you don't hear this in the mainstream media, of course, so most people don't even have a clue what's going on. But here's somebody.
By the way, we're lining up Dr. Nick Begich or his brother, the former mayor of Anchorage, who's running against Senator Ted Stevens, who's been indicted for making false statements about money that he was paid.
Yeah.
And Ted Stevens is the guy that wants to just completely kill the Internet. So this is another example of them eating their own. But going back to the example of Karl Rove, he's been indicted in one case. The Congress is citing him for contempt, which is a felony, and he just doesn't care. He could care less. He does whatever he wants, and this is another example of the executive branch out of control. Nixon had to step down over his executive abuses. And then he tried to say, well, things that are illegal aren't illegal when the president does it. Yes, they are. You're not above the law. And that when the government claims it is above the law, that's called tyranny, and you get revolutions out of that.
Yeah, and here's Pelosi, and she turned around and said, well, I don't know about this. I'll have to decide this next month or the next 6 months down the road or whatever. I mean, it's just insane.
Well, when the elite were secured 10, 20 years ago, they would fight with each other and have more open political partisanship. But now that they're desperate and have the wagons circled against the American people, you're not going to see them get out of lockstep. And, yeah, look at Nancy Pelosi. Sent there to impeach Bush, sent there to end the war, and it actually is expanding.
Well, I didn't realize this before, but I guess from what I read that she's also a member of the Council of Foreign Relations, and that explained everything to me.
And her daughter has been paid money by the Republican Party to produce films about Bush.
Mm-hmm.
Look, it's total mafia. It's total mafia. The Democrats want all these new police state powers. They want this powerful executive, which will now be coupled with a Democratic House and Senate, and a court that will go along with anything. And so people think things are bad now. Just get ready.
Absolutely.
And then suddenly, man, Republicans will see all the corruptions and will be lifting me and others on their shoulders. That is Republican grassroots that have said, I'm the devil.
It gets better. The hits just keep on coming.
Absolutely. When we've said it's not partisan. George Bush is a puppet. The Democrats are puppets. It's about the new world order. Appreciate your call, Rod. Dean in Canada, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Alex. I've got a bit of an important news to relay to the rest of the listeners out there. Last evening in Manitoba, on board a Greyhound bus from Brandon to Portage-la-Prairie, a man in his early 20s, without any warning, attacked another who was sitting right next to her, who happened to be asleep listening to his headphones. According to all eyewitness accounts, stabbed the man without any warning, without any provocation, and after everyone evacuated the bus after pulling
Stay
over...
Stay there. I want to hear more about this after this quick break. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Don't forget the websites, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, TruthNews.us. Stay with us.
Can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels feet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long time.
All right,
liar.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are
go
back
tell
live.
That midnight rider. Tell the rambler.
Continuing with your phone calls, wide open phones. Now, I've been giving each caller about a minute or two. I'm really going to try to get through them fast now. Though you've all got great stories, interesting things to tell, I want to try to get as many people as I can before Red Beckman joins us. And we're going to have open phones with him as well. I mean, you never know how long these guys are going to be around, and he's just a real treasure, so he's coming up. Rod in Oregon. Okay, so it's on the news, and I Googled it real fast and didn't find it, but I'm sure it's there. He stabs the man in the neck for no reason. He's listening to headphones. Please continue the story.
Well, at any rate, during the attack, upon being alerted by the blood-curdling scream, the driver pulled the Greyhound bus over, and as soon as everybody was off, after some struggle with the attacker, who was trying to get off as well, everybody managed to make it off. The bus driver disabled the bus to make sure it couldn't go anywhere and made sure that it was all locked up. And at that point, realizing he had nowhere to go, the attacker proceeded to decapitate the person he had just attacked. Immediately prior to the attack and immediately following the attack, the attacker maintained utter composure, the likes of which you can only expect after waking up. He was utterly emotionless, and he was kept himself pretty much isolated from anybody on board. Now, that's just my opinion, but on top of the call now in the media for registering of large knives, I think that this is just a trial balloon to see how we can be shocked by something like this, and I think this may be a taste of things to come on this side of the border.
Well,
on your side, we're seeing shootings like crazy. Here it's nice because we really don't have them any guns legally.
Well, in England, they've brought in masses of third world populations who historically have been disarmed and don't have guns, so they're good with knives. And there have been in England as many as 7 knife murders in a weekend in London. And so the police bring out scanners. They start shaking down old ladies. Again, they disarm the population. They're calling for registering all knives, home inspections. You know, don't arm the people. Don't let the people protect themselves, but, arm the police because they need to protect themselves. By the way, I'm not against that. Just don't tell me I can't defend myself. And, yes, I've seen them call for, you know, restricting knives in Canada. There are psychopaths. There are people who are not mind-controlled through the classical means of it who can do things like that. But I have to tell you, and again, there's even been mainstream TV specials on this. More than 10,000 high school girls and boys, and some were college students, but most high school girls and boys, families would sign their children. It was mainly middle-class families is who they wanted in the 50s, 60s, and 70s for Dr. Ewing Cameron. Now, for those that don't believe this and think it's only in movies and the Manchurian Candidate, no, it's real. This is only one program we know about of hundreds we know about. And then there's still thousands that we know a little bit about. But hundreds of programs. This one program over 30 years from the 50s into the 70s. We are right up into the early 80s. I believe it stopped about, it was 81. Big university in Canada. I forget the exact one. You can look up Dr. Ewing Cameron. Had an entire CIA building, an entire psychiatry building run by Dr. Ewing Cameron and a bunch of U.S. military officers in Canada. You can go pull it up. That shows on it. It's all over mainstream news. And they would take them and first give them electroshock therapy, sometimes hundreds of electroshock therapies, but generally it was only a few dozen, to blank out the memory and the mind. Then for 6 months, and it was a formula, they would, and this is what they developed over years, they would put headphones on, but in a straitjacket, tied to a bed, with a bedpan under you, and then several times a week giving you LSD, PCP, peyote, all three together, other drugs. drugs that cause extreme pain and horror while you're on the hallucinogens. They can give you drugs to make you feel dirty, painful, horrible, frustrated, make you have a really bad trip. While you're wearing a mask for sensory deprivation, your hands are tied in on yourself, hardcore form of torture for months, headphones pumping audio in of Dr. Ewing Cameron and others saying, you will submit, you will do as this says, now I'm going to. And then after 6 months of that, you have all these pain triggers where when you hear a certain keyword, that could be any keyword, but they want to make it a couple of words string together that'll never be strung together accidentally, so you can't be triggered. Now this is the Chinese/North Korean model they got in the 50s brought here. It was actually an ancient form of Chinese torture where they would do this with drugs and blindfolds and stress positions, but much more. See, I said I take a lot of calls, but this is a key area he just brought up, and I want to educate people on this. And don't believe me, folks. This is too important. Go check it out with keyword searches. You'll find all the mainstream info and declassified church hearing documents, MK Ultra coming out, MK Naomi and others. And so they would then give them a keyword for pain, then a keyword where they would give them a drug, generally opiates, to knock them out and make the pain go away. So now you have a Pavlovian response. You ever seen a woman who's beaten by her husband? Say a waitress comes over and you move quick to get your wallet out and she flinches and puts her hand up. That's a woman who's getting the kicked out of her every week. Well, that's basic Pavlovian, where somebody who's beaten, if somebody raises a hand at them, they flinch. Or somebody who's been in the military who's been in combat, somebody makes a flinch and they attack you and do a judo move and slam you down on your head. You know, there can also be an opposite response. A lot of cops who've seen a lot of action are military. That's why they'll flip out on somebody who makes a wrong move, because they've just been through a lot in their life and they've instinctively, developed ways to protect themselves, and it's like messing with a crocodile. But with women, they found men, they could have some mind control, they could carry out some missions, but they needed to be drugged at the time of the mission for it to be even 90% operation success. They found with women mind control, it was much easier to get near total mind control slaves. This is all declassified. And then after 6 months of torture and audios and stress positions, they would then start giving them keywords for pleasure, keywords for good. And then they would give them over another 6 months a new identity, who they were, a new history of who they were, with audio being pumped in. Now with brain chips and hologram goggles and virtual reality, the torture is a million times worse and more controlled. This is what we know about that came out in the late 70s, early 80s. And we know that there was a mass shooting, and now this was in 99, and the memory, Larry Ashbrook. He goes into a Baptist church during a youth meeting, shoots 20-something people, kills, I think it was 10 of them, then kills him, sits down calmly, sticks the gun in his mouth with total control, and blows the back of his head off. Now, he had been writing the paper and saying, help me, but they thought he was a schizophrenic because there's so many saying this who are just, mentally ill, and aren't under mind control. Or maybe they are, who knows? He was writing letters saying, help me. He was telling neighbors, and it turned out he'd been in black ops in the Navy, and this came out in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. And it turned out that neighbors saw him drug out of the house by men and put in vans. Friends, this is over a year period, because he was breaking down, his programming was breaking down. He was a sleeper who was breaking down. Men don't work well. They tend to commit suicide or break down or go crazy or completely break their programming. It's harder to control a man in all the major studies we know about, all these horrible, grisly experiments. The Nazis found similar things out. But they can do better, they say, with adolescents, with children, and especially with women. And so with these primitive techniques that he accentuated and kind of souped up, Dr. Ewing Cameron, he could program someone to do whatever they were told with a new identity and be a completely new person. And we know that happened with McVeigh. We know that happened with Larry Ashbrook. Buford Furrow, again, did live at the Naval Base, excuse me, the Air Force Base. I'm going from memory here. I'm pulling this up. That did end up coming out in that particular Air Force Base up in Washington State. He did have national security numbers and emails and security codes on him when police got him, because these guys don't operate at 100%. They don't follow orders exactly. They're out of it. We know that Sirhan, with that same primitive program, the woman comes in, the woman in the polka dot dress, this is mainstream news, put it in his, the LAPD wanted to talked to her. They wouldn't let him. The coroner said he was shot four times in the back, not from the front. She gives him the amnesiac. He goes into the trance. He's given the code word to go ahead. Again, men with the primitive programming need a drug, generally a Halcyon-type amnesiac, which, by the way, Wired Magazine in an article titled the hold on. My brain's not as good as it used to be. It used to be totally photographic. It's not anymore. Called the Marshall Plan, went into that and admitted they are drugging and testing mind control drugs on the troops in Afghanistan and Iraq. We know they did that in Vietnam. So there, I just blew 10 minutes on that. But your question and the point you make is a very good one. And the complete sereneness after he did it is what is suspicious, and I appreciate your call. Now, we are seeing mind control-like MO and signatures in women dancing naked on top of their house in front of police. I hate to talk like this, but this was in the case in one in Texas, I remember like 8 years ago, cutting her breast off. And the cops pull up and watch her with pleasure slice her own breast off. Women chopping their babies' arms off. Women driving their babies off cars. And every time another woman does it, other women the same week or month do it because they're very easily influenced. And what are these women all on? What are these mass shooting men all on in every case, everyone I've ever seen? They're on psychotropic serotonin reuptake inhibitors, which are in the hallucinogen class. Don't believe me? Go to Prozac's website, Eli Lilly. Click on the five-page, I looked it up just a week ago, the five-page full drug insert in tiny print. Don't be lazy. Read it for yourself. It says causes psychotic breaks, violence, causes people to go into psychopathic rages, causes people to go into dreamlike sleepwalking states, but it gives the scientific terms for that. Because, yeah, it's in the hallucinogen class. I had a girlfriend who took Prozac, and I remember reading with one day with the bag sitting there on her coffee table, the full insert. And I said, "Hon, have you? This is back in college. Have you ever read this?" Because, you know, my dad's a physician, so I grew up wanting to know it was in drugs. And I said, "Look right here. You know, it says it can make you be in a sleepwalk-like state." So, that's not my wife, folks. She's never taken Prozac. It was another girlfriend. For people start a rumor about that. The point is that these women and men go into trance-like states. They're brainwaves. When you're on Prozac or any of the serotonin reuptake inhibitor classes, you are in a dream state. You are in an unconscious state. You are totally open to programming. And that's why you'll see somebody who's on Prozac-type drugs go in and watch a movie about mass shootings, and a week later they're doing it, folks, because they're on the equivalent of LSD. In fact, the brainwaves are more intense than LSD. It just doesn't have visual and isn't associated with 100% of the time going into those confused states. People who've used LSD a lot in their life will tell you, yeah, the first 50 times I took it, it was great. But that 51st time or that 110th time, you know, I went completely psychopathic. The people eat their fingers, jump off of windows, kill their families. They've been testing this on special forces. They've been coming back killing their families. Because it turned out they claimed it was a squadron of Delta Force came back and killed four of their wives and children. One lady escaped, but four attacked. Three were successful, killing their women at Fort Bragg and their children. And the police would pull up, and you'd have a Delta Force guy. This was in the news, in the North Carolina papers, just screaming uncontrollably, flopping around in so much rage, just like almost having a seizure. And then it leaked out, oh, they weren't just on those, that new dangerous drug that makes you get violent for malaria. They were in part of a drugging program for, quote, trauma of troops. No, they had a mind control test done on them. Because these are not weak-minded people that are in the Delta Force. It's more about your mind than not just being able to stay up for 5 days straight and go on 20-mile hikes every day or swim in frozen water. They're testing on you. I mean, I'll never forget one of Rick Perry's top people came to Endgame, even gave me his card. I lost it. I don't know where it's at. I need to go look at all his personnel's pictures online and then call that guy up. I'd recognize him in a minute. And he's like, yeah, I know they test chemicals and biologicals on the troops. I was a medic, 14 years ago or whatever at Fort Sam Houston, and they These guys came in, they were vaccinated, and they were all dead 3 days later. Special Forces out of Fort Bragg. They murder you! And I know there's Special Forces listening. And I know there's old Special Forces listening. And you know about buddies that went off for a test and people died. Your government is psychopathic mad scientist. And you better wake up to that right now. See, this isn't a game to me every day doing this show. I know my life's in danger every single day. There isn't any time to screw around, folks. There isn't any time to play games with each other. There isn't any time, police, to keep being in denial about how serious things are and how they've set you up to act like a bunch of thugs and make the people hate you so we're all at each other's throats. They're playing a psyop on all of us, and I don't like it! God, I think about all the stuff they've done. It makes me so angry. Said I'd take a lot of calls. I've taken some. I just, that caller got me off because it was an important subject. Dean in Canada, you're on the air. Come on, Dean. Come on ahead. Well, okay. Okay. Daniel in Canada. I got them mixed up. Go ahead.
No problem. First of all, I want to say, Alex, I don't want to put you on a pedestal. I know you don't like that, but I heard your first show on Coast to Coast, and at that point, you gave me a challenge. You said, don't believe me. Go look it up for yourself. I did, and since then, I've been on the road of research and reading and educating myself and others ever since. I can't tell you the hours I've spent just like you, and what you just spoke about Dr. Cameron, just everything you said is true. I've looked it up. I've read exactly what you said. The one other point I thought I'd bring up was I believe I read somewhere as well that the day before this his study actually started, Canada as well as other nations had signed an agreement. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, they signed an agreement allowing human experimentation.
Yeah, yeah. And the very next day he starts doing this. And, you know, the other thing about what people don't realize is, I mean, we're talking about hundreds of people that were experimented on.
It was thousands.
It wasn't just a few, or thousands. Yeah.
Thousands.
I mean, it was unbelievable.
The way the news will report on it is they'll report on 1 year's program that would have several hundred. I've got to go look it back up. But it was over 10,000 total in the three-decade program. He also had programs in the U.S. and D.C. and Maryland. But the big one, I'll have to refresh my memory, but everybody should go look it up. It was in Canada. Stay there. I'm going to come back to you. Senior guys, I've seen him on television, go, listen, you know, we're not all bad, the governor's office, and I knew the governor was in this film, so I wanted to come see it. Remember that time we had Rick Perry on the show? That was amazing. They're watching us, folks. I had Rick Perry one time. I was eating dinner at a Mexican food restaurant. He came over and put his hands on Raymond Teague's back and leaned over me and said, I want you guys to have a great Thanksgiving. Looking at me in the eyes, he is something else. He was afraid to come in there. People said, Rick Perry just walked in, looked at you, and walked out, and I saw him walking out. He waits 15 minutes. Security comes in first, and then he comes in and comes over and talks to us. The point is, imagine having one of Rick Perry's, he's the guy that sets all the scheduling. And he said, I could talk about it. I should have tried to get him on the show, but people get emotional after they watch a film like Endgame. He may not even want me to talk about it, but hey, cat's out of the bag. And to say, yeah, I think he said it was three or four Special Forces guys come down. They're sitting down there to have a medical vaccine tested on them, and they all die horrible deaths, strapped down. I mean, he just said it was a horrible death. So they just, of course, he wasn't part of that. He was just a medic down there, and then they told him, okay, you know, heavy level decon, I forget the term he used. They sprayed the whole place down, threw away in decon bags all the sheets. The entire place was sprayed down with bleach and disinfectant. They pulled all of the stainless steel bunks out of that medical wing at Fort Sam Houston, drug it out into the sun, and sprayed more bleach on it. I mean, this government will kill you in a minute. And by the way, I don't just need his story. He told me. The film had a bunch of examples of mainstream news where they would march troops in and nerve gas them to death. And so he was going, yeah, yeah, I saw that. The government doesn't like you, police. The government is sickos. Do you understand me? It doesn't have to happen to America. We don't have to have them stage more terror and bring in a police state. It's going to hurt us all. But we're getting real close to it right now. And I'm getting chills right now every time I think about it because I love my family. I love this country. I don't hate you, police. I know your good old boys want to go deer hunting and ride around in your bass boats. I don't hate you. I'm not your enemy. But you make yourself my enemy by the things you do and by the weakness you have, just like the general public, a bunch of jellyfish who live in denial. And that denial is going to wreck us. Daniel in Canada, finish up your story.
I concur with, you know, just what you said, Alex. And just to top it off, I just, you know, people don't, they sit back and they don't take the time to do what, I mean, these things really are happening. You know, if people go and read, go look it up. If you don't think that there's not experiments going on now, you're crazy.
No, it's 100 times worse.
Never mind what they've done in the past. And it's worse.
No,
but
it's out there. I mean, by 100 times worse.
Just get off their backsides, turn off the damn TV, and start doing something and reading, learning. You know, this isn't a game. You know, I mean, me and my wife, we got jackets. We just recently moved to a new town. In the 2 weeks we've been here, Alex, you wouldn't believe how many times the RCMP have pulled me and my wife over, asked us for ID, give us a hassle, ask us what we're doing. Who the hell's Alex Jones? Where's Prison Planet? What is that? We are change. What change? You know,
Yeah, there's secret police who see your bumper stickers or your jackets, and Canada is really bad. England's bad. Where secret police come up and ask you questions because of your political views. What do you? Yeah. I mean, they know full well who we are. They have LexisNexis. They have Google in their cars. What do you say to the feds?
Oh, what can you do? You show them your ID and you just keep your mouth shut, because if you do anything, you know it's going
to
happen.
And they're wanting to intimidate you to keep your mouth shut. Stay there. I want to hear about the town you're in. I want people to call there and tell them, leave the citizens alone. Oh, yeah, I can ship my stuff, my videos, into China, anywhere, but you can hardly get them into Canada.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Clint, Jim, Chris, we're going to get to you before Red Beckman joins us. Going back to Daniel in Canada. So what's the town you moved to, Daniel, where I guess you said you're wearing a PrisonPlanet.com jacket, or is it bumper stickers?
Well, we moved in from a small town called Sylvan Lake into what you would consider a small city. But, we moved in about, 3 weeks ago, and we both have jackets that have, PrisonPlanet.com, Infowars.com that we made ourselves. And we are change, and 9/11 is an inside job.
How dare you have the view of half the population.
And you know what's ironic, Alex, is more people who talk to us all agree. You know, it's like...
Well, that's why you've got to be intimidated. Listen, they have anti-terror police in the U.S., Canada, and England in towns. I've seen reports, mainstream news reports. One case was in Idaho, where there are four deputies. And then 10 years ago, they hired one anti-terror officer after the Fed staged Oklahoma City. And then now, that was the fourth or fifth officer, and then they hired another. So, I don't know, out of five or six, what is two of them? I mean, we're talking about 20%, 30% of their officers are anti-terror, and they're going to find terrorism, folks. And terrorism's loving America. Terrorism's loving freedom in Canada. Terrorism's talking to your neighbors. I mean, I just reported the... major paper out of Utah, Salt Lake City Tribune yesterday, said that when they get sent anti-New World Order stuff or 9/11's an inside job information, they call the police on the folks. I mean, again, this...
Well, I know. You could tell. I mean, from their reaction, you could tell. Like, both me and my wife both agreed that they've been told... They know that, you know, these groups, these people are on a list. I mean, we. I mean, it's so odd.
Let me tell you how you counter that. Let me counter it. You go to the library. You set up a weekly group. You go, if you have to pay for it, a local one-hour radio show. You talk about it. You start an organization in your area, and you start going out with signs and leaflets. You counter that type of fascist, secret police wickedness by intensifying. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, we just, when they stop us, we're polite, you know? We're clean cut, you know? We don't do drugs.
Sir, they don't care. Let me tell you, Canada's bad. They may plant drugs.
It is bad.
Anything on you. No, you need to deal with them like they are criminals. And because what they're doing is criminal, that doesn't mean... get in arguments with them, but you need to intensify your numbers now and go file complaints that you're being harassed. And you need to call the local paper.
Well, I am.
What are you saying to these thugs when they do this to you? You say you're being polite?
We ask them, we are polite, but we go, why are you stopping us? What have we done wrong? We make them tell us what it is we're doing that justifies their actions.
Yeah, because
and
next
they're
going to be taking you and your wife to a death camp, okay? That's what this, talking to people, knowing who they are, that's what this is all about, folks.
Oh, I agree. I agree, Alex, and people got to wake up, but, you know, we're making headway. We are. You know, and we're going to win. We're not backing
down. I want these cops to know when their family's getting picked up down the road by this system, or when you're getting drug off police, because they like to fry police in the public eye, too, to convince the public that it's legitimate. When they're dragging you off to FEMA camps, cops, you just remember.
Well, I've got one jacket, Alex, that has good old Charlton Heston saying, you know, it says, New World Order, I've got five words for you, over my dead body. Or a cold dead body.
So what do they say to you after you talk to them?
Well, they just look at you and they try to intimidate you, and I look them straight back in the eye, and I just refuse to flinch, and we stand up tall and we tell them, you know, this is not right.
You know, I've seen videos out of Canada where mainstream native groups try to have picnics at public parks, and the police come and beat them up. I mean, your Canadian police are probably the worst on the planet. Canadians, you got a big problem. All right, sir. Well, anything else happens to you, let us know about it. You ought to write an article about it and send it to us. We'd post it. We'll be right back with more of your calls in Red Beckman.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Clint, you're on the air.
How you doing, Alex?
Good.
Hey, I'm really excited about all the positive diplomatic pushes that are going on right now with Paul, Kucinich, Frank. I had a question for you, though. Given the fact that, you know, we are one slip away, one false flag terror attack, one, you know, Israel bombs Iran, no matter what the cause is, we're one slip away from a state of emergency in which they have the power to bring in the police state, the authority now. My question is, you know, how long before the 4% of revolutionaries and patriots we have now march onto Washington with a U-Haul truck, surround the White House and say, hey, you got 24 hours to vacate the premises, Chief? I mean, what needs to happen before we're motivated to actually take our constitutional duty to the level it was presented in the actual document?
Well, here's the danger. If something like that was carried out, a lot of things could happen, and historically, most of them are bad. Statistically, you would probably have the globalists, if it looked like the overthrow was going successfully, they would co-opt it quickly through the media and put some savior in to end up giving us a military dictatorship that could be worse than the new corrupt system we have. More likely, they would just attack with tanks and conventional weapons, microwave guns, and start killing citizens. Then citizens in other parts of the country would start burning. Looters would then get involved, and they could aim the news cameras at looters and make the rebels look like looters when it would just be criminals taking advantage of that. And then things would descend into a French Revolution-style situation. And so, I say don't go to FEMA camps, don't let them take your children from you, defend yourself, but I'm not here saying let's offensively go take over Washington. Washington's a bunch of puppets. It's the corporate global system through treaties that's controlling everything. We have to fully discredit the government, keep them from staging terror attacks. Look, they want violence. They bombed OKC and said Patriots did it because our movement was peacefully taking over. And then that trick worked to a certain extent that time. So we spent years exposing that they were behind it. So now that trick isn't working as well for them. So they did a false flag and blamed it on foreigners. Now we've exposed that little toy. So as long as we keep... Look, right now we're gaining ground every day. Right now our movement's exploding. Right now they can't sell snow cones in hell. The New World Order cannot sell anything right now, and their whole system's falling apart. And so they're probably going to try to start World War III or a depression or a bioweapons release or a nuke. I mean, any of those things, or race riots, which we know they've engineered before, to try to destabilize things so things get so bad the government then looks good as the savior. They haven't built up this whole giant apparatus for nothing. They want to have an excuse to be the saviors again. Does that answer your question?
Certainly. And keep up the fight, brother. I'm with you all the way.
Thank you. Yeah, folks, I'm not at some primitive level wanting to see burning police cars and cops dead everywhere and citizens dead everywhere. None of us want that or need that. There's a lot of people who let their cojones do all the thinking for them, but notice they're the ones that never actually engage in violence. It's, let's be violent. Let's start shooting. Let's have a war. Let's get it on. But they never do it themselves. In fact, they're around when other people go to jail for provocateuring or being provocateur. We need to work for peace, folks, but prepare for war. And that means waking everybody up in your area. First, you got to let them know the score. Who's wearing the black hats? Who's wearing the white hats? Let's go ahead now and take another call here. Let's talk to Jim in Missouri. You're on the air.
Alex, how are you?
Good.
I don't want to take a lot of your time. There is a video that's available on Google that was done by an Englishman called, his name is Ian Crane, and it's on Codex Alimentarius, and he gives a detailed description of exactly how they're going to accomplish what you've exposed as the end game.
Yes.
He ties it together with Big Pharma. What they did with the European Union, what they're planning for the North American Union, it's very well researched and backed up. The reason why I called and wanted to get on is everybody needs to watch this all around the world. Because
okay, send it to Aaron at Infowars.com. Send it to Kurt. Go into the message boards or into the post on each story. Those posts are getting more traffic than the stories. People are really in there, sometimes commenting 500, 600 times per story. Go in there and post links to that. Make sure it comes to our attention up on Infowars.com, and we'll post it on the main page. Anything else? I didn't let him go.
I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
It's a perfect companion to your end game, because it gives the detailed description of how they're going to accomplish it. And that's why I wanted to get that out there. And I will go to the forums, and I thank you for everything that you're doing, buddy.
You bet. One more call, and we're going to Red Beckman for the next hour, into the next hour. Let's go ahead and talk to Chris in Kentucky. Chris, you're on the air.
Hey there, Alex. I was just calling in regards to, you were talking earlier about, you know, drugs and big pharma and testing and such and such. Well, I'm calling in regards to the HPV vaccine. I live in a town in Kentucky called Owensboro, and a company here called Kentucky Bioprocessing has just signed a deal with Merck, I believe, to, I think they're creating a new and improved, quote-unquote, HPV vaccine that's going to be manufactured right here, this place only. And they're talking about just all the jobs it's going to bring in, et cetera, et cetera. And people around here don't really know about the side effects, you know, the stuff they don't tell you, everything like that about the HPV vaccine, what it was really made for.
But a side effect would mean that it was accidentally doing something to you.
Oh.
It is a live cancer virus that if you are already infected with the virus, and most cancer is viral, that it gives you a 45% increase in getting the cancer, and then on its own cover sheet, its own drug insert, it's not even a drug, it's a live cancer virus. It's a biological modification that your body receives, and it's killed a bunch of people. A bunch of other people have gotten sick with autoimmune, I mean, thousands of autoimmune responses, and trials, it killed a bunch of people. And then they admit, if you read the paperwork with it, that it doesn't even protect you from the human papillomavirus. And then even they say even if it may give some good effects, it only covers 4 to 6 strains, depending on the version, of 350-plus known strains associated with cervical cancer.
Well, you know, and I don't know if it's a coincidence or not, but in the community, the big hotel around here on the riverfront that generated a big percentage of this town's revenue has just been shut down this summer. So everyone's all giddy about all the jobs this vaccine manufacturing is going to bring and everything. And you know,
no, it's not connected, probably, other than that the economy's falling apart. And the only economy you're going to have is spy cameras, black uniforms, forced inoculations, microwave guns, FEMA camps, prisons, tattletale squads. Already 1/10 of college graduates are Homeland Security related. Every major public school has Homeland Security classes, law enforcement classes. Total conversion into an armed, giant FEMA camp.
Yeah, and I just wanted to call and let people know where that was going to be taking place. And, you know, I'm going to try to do something about it. I'm printing up flyers right now to go, you know, leave in the mall.
And then give them web addresses to all the mainstream articles and then say, go to Merck's own website, read what this does. This is the same company that gave you Luvox. With all the heart attacks. This is the same company that's been associated with all these other horrible things. Know what you're getting into. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Okay, we're going to have him for about 20 minutes in the next hour, so more than a full hour. We're very honored to have him. He is Red Beckman. And Red Beckman is the father of the Fully Informed Jury Association, an idea. He'll tell you what that is. And he's also one of the fathers of exposing the fact that the 16th Amendment to give us the income tax was never ratified. I mean, this is one of the original icons for 50 years fighting the New World Order. And we are very, very honored to have him. We're about to go to break, Red Beckman, but just out of the gates, tell us, the listeners who don't know who you are, a little bit about yourself.
Well, I have... I'm going to be 80 at my next birthday, and so I've been around quite a while, and I've found out what's wrong with me. I'm terminally old, and I'm looking in on everything from the sidelines almost now, and so it's a real privilege to have an opportunity to get on your show again. You know, became somewhat of an activist after I got out of the military in 1952 because I had seen where the trends that we had, even at that point, the direction our government was going and our education system and such, it was going in the wrong direction, and I recognized it. And it wasn't until, 20 years later, that it came to my attention to the fact that we had been miseducated. We had not been told the truth about our nation and how it was founded and how our system of laws was supposed to function. And so I had to go out and I had to figure out where the Internal Revenue Service in particular was getting the power that they were exercising over the American people. Today we know that they're a psycho-terrorist organization, and so we know what a bunch of terrorists they are, but we now know how to handle them. We now know how to control them, because way back in the early 70s, it came to my attention and a lot of other people's attention the fact that the federal judiciary had become... totally ungoverned. They were outside of the law, and the people sitting on our juries in this country were just being used like a rubber stamp.
Red Beckman, stay there. We're going to start over when we get back. You've got the complete floor for the next hour. In fact, we'll keep you to the end of the show if you can do it so we can take calls. Red Beckman's our guest, the great-granddaddy of so much of what we are today. Okay, let's go straight into our interview with Red Beckman. He is the father of the Fully Informed Jury Association movement. He co-wrote the book, The Law That Never Was. Just such important information. And so, Red, let's start out with discovering how our country was really founded, the true place of the people versus the state, because I've seen some of your talks on that and also interviewed you, and then get into the fully informed jury movement, how important that vote is, the juries and the grand juries, and then what the IRS really is. Let's go through it in that chronological order.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, we have been exposed through the government school system to a very limited amount of the true history of how our nation was founded. And what I really want to get into on this show is how that we were shortchanged in that education system, and we were not taught about juries and how they are so critical to making our system work and make it work properly. Now, I have opportunities at times to confront lawyers. And I ask lawyers, I say, what is the highest court in the land? And I can ask that question of 999 people out of 1,000 in this country, and they'll all say the same thing. They'll all say the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, that's not true. The U.S. Supreme Court is not the highest court in our land. The Seventh Amendment common law jury is the highest court in our land. And I don't have any attorneys that argue with me after I explain this. And this is part of the process of shortchanging. For over 200 years, the legal profession has tried to drop the seventh article of the Bill of Rights through the cracks. Now, the Bill of Rights, we should have all learned all about the Bill of Rights right in our, well, starting in about the fifth or sixth grade. We should have been learning about the Bill of Rights and what it means. And we did learn a certain amount about the First Amendment. We learned about the freedom of speech and the freedom of press. The founders understood the importance of having a free press and having the right to speak out. And they understood that you can't let the government have free access to your papers and your houses and your things. So they put in the Fourth Amendment, which covered illegal searches and seizures. And they put in the Fifth Amendment, which made it so that you had to have a grand jury indictment before they could charge you with a major crime. They could not force you to be a witness against yourself. And the First, Fourth, and Fifth Amendments, of course, are the darlings of the ACLU and such. However, those three amendments, they are very, very important. But the Seventh Amendment is even more important than those three, because the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, they have no enforcement power. If a bureaucrat or a politician violates your freedom of speech or your freedom of press, where is your remedy? The remedy is in the Seventh Amendment. And students go to law school. They spend 3 years in law school. They spend weeks and days on the First Amendment, and they spend lots of time on the Fourth Amendment and the Fifth Amendment. And the only thing they learn about the Seventh Amendment is that you are secured, your right to a jury trial in a civil case is secured by the Seventh Amendment. There's so much more to that Seventh Amendment, and they didn't want you to know. Now, did you get a copy of a letter that I emailed to your program director?
Yes, it's here in a folder.
Well, there's a sentence in there that is so important. It says this. It says, the Seventh Amendment common law jury is the highest court in the land because even the nine justices of the U.S. Supreme Court are government agents. That is more than just dynamite. That is nuclear.
Well, what balances out government power versus the citizens who are the power is that we are the deciders on the grand juries and juries over the courts.
Absolutely.
And now
that absolutely, absolutely, and the second clause of the Seventh Amendment.
Red, we got to break again. When we come back, long segment. And we just skipped over that. That's a key point you were just making. We need to flesh that out more for people. This is our enforcement power. This is how we control the government. The Seventh Amendment is one of the most important things in our system.
Some folks are born made to wait to fly. Ooh, the red, white, and blue. The red, yeah. White, and blue. And when the band plays, hail to the chief, Lord knows, they point the cannon at you. Tell them that it ain't me.
I can't stress what a debt we owe Red Beckman. Since the 50s, educating the public about the New World Order's criminal actions, and then he discovered the Seventh Amendment. In the 70s, he formed the Fully Informed Jury Association, and now a lot of people I talk to understand that you judge the facts as well as the law. And I want to go over this in basic terms for people, Red, because of all the great things you've done, I think this is the most profound and important, dealing with the rule of law and the power of the people and our place in the hierarchy of power at the top, not at the bottom, of this system. And so please go back to what you were covering before we went to break about the Seventh Amendment, not just dealing with your right to a jury trial, but to grand juries, and to the power of the juries to instruct the judge, not the other way around. Let's go through this big secret for people.
Well, let me read the Seventh Amendment. It says, in suits at common law where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved. And that's what they teach in law school. And they stop there. They don't go on. And it says, this is what it says, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined by any court of the United States than according to rules of the common law. In other words, that Seventh Amendment, common law jury trial, the judge, you see, he has a conflict of interest because he is a government employee, which makes him a government agent.
Let's stop there. I'm going to give you time, but I want to go back and flesh out the thunderbolt that is hiding in plain view. If we're a free country, of course it is the jurors who aren't some vestigial part, but that are at the center of the entire mechanism and who are the chief executives of the cities, counties, states, and the federal government. That is saying no court can re-examine. That's saying there's no double jeopardy, and that's saying that in findings that juries are above the Supreme Court.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you see, the eminent domain case that came out of Connecticut, the Kelo case, you see, there is a miscarriage of justice that should never have happened. But you see, the problem was that it was a bunch of lawyers that were arguing it, and in common law, you don't use lawyers to represent you. You represent yourself.
And now under commerce law and all of these new admiralty systems that are really ancient Roman systems being brought in, there aren't even jury. Like when the CPS comes and takes your child, there's no jury. There's a judge if you're lucky. Again, that's totally criminal, totally alien. Mm-hmm. So, but I interrupted you a minute ago. We had gotten to the point of who the courts and the prosecutors work for.
Yeah, right. They are government agents, and so they have a conflict of interest. Now, the founders of this country, let's go back now, the founders of this country had lived under King George III, and King George was using what we would call today administrative procedures. Now, when you invoke the Constitution, you're invoking the higher law. Administrative procedures, and the IRS, they use these all the time, they are rules and regulations. They're not law. They are rules and regulations that were created by public servants or government agents. So when you demand a Seventh Amendment, now we've been able to get people out of the grip of the tax court just by confronting them with the fact that the judge has a conflict of interest and he cannot make a finding of fact or a conclusion of law because the Seventh Amendment doesn't give him any authority to do that. And so, you know, way back there in the freedom movement, we discovered that the judiciary was the biggest problem we had. They were more of a problem than the Congress or the executive branch. And we knew they were a problem. We knew they were manipulating juries. They were manipulating cases. And this Seventh Amendment was put there by the founders because they had experienced the same kind of abuse, usurpation and abuse, abuse and usurpation of powers. That's what it says in the Declaration. It tells you that the judges and such of King George were out of line.
And they had created swarms of new agencies and agents to go out and eat out the substance, to racketeer, to squeeze, to engage in piratical operations of booty-taking.
Yeah, they say that you can't sue a federal judge. That is not true. You can sue a federal judge if he does not notice the parties to an action. If it's a controversy between a citizen, now a corporation is different. The judge, he can do anything he wants with a corporation because that's a creature created by the state. But you and I, we were created by a higher power and a creator. And it's our rights come from our creator, not from government. So,
and even if you don't believe in that and you're an atheist, the point is, it is the original organic law, which was reestablished under 1215 Magna Carta, that is the dominant law that supersedes all new little rules and regulations set up by these little petty bureaucracies that under our system were outlawed.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, when you confront a judge, a prosecutor, or a bureaucrat of any kind with the fact that they are government agents. A federal judge is as much a government agent as an FBI agent or a CIA or whatever. He is a government agent, and therefore he has a conflict of interest. And the judges, they have a code of ethics which very specifically addresses conflicts of interest.
And here's an example. Let's say the judge is sitting over a murder trial where his first cousin was murdered. He would have to recuse himself. But in the case of them being government agents, you can never find someone to replace who's been recused because they are all recused. That's why the founders said we have juries and grand juries, because the judge is literally just a referee, but the dominant force is the jury.
Absolutely. And like I said earlier, we have been so miseducated, and we have been taught not nearly enough to where we can go into the court as a juror and understand how we're supposed to function. Who we are, and as I wrote many years ago in my first book, one informed person on a jury of 12 has more power than the President of the United States, more power than all of the Congress, more power than all of the judges in the courts, because we're sovereign. And see, there's there's something that we should have learned, and that is that no place in the Constitution or the Bill of Rights is our sovereignty identified like it is in the Seventh Amendment. That's where our sovereignty is confirmed. That's where it is solidified. That's where it tells us about our power, how much power we have.
But there were many other areas that also second that, like the Declaration of Independence and the Second Amendment. That gives us the authorization and the order to defend our friends, our family, our country, and the Declaration of Independence, the power as sovereigns to overthrow a system that has become corrupt, which they said would normally that would happen. But versus the new power that is just force majeure, whatever the better term is, of where they just say, hey, we have set the precedent. We have had notorious and obvious dominance over you, violating the Bill of Rights and Constitution, classical tyranny. They now just say, we don't care if that's the facts and the law. We have men who will kill you. We have hired thugs. So how do you deal with that now that they've gone into a whole new zone where they don't even deny that they are dismantling the country?
You see, the problem is that they went to the same kind of schools that you and I went to, and they learned what they taught in a government school, and so basically our education system in this country is not an education system anymore.
That's right. They're now teaching.
It's programming.
It's programming. They're now teaching the Second Amendment's a privilege. Traveling's
right.
a privilege. They're now teaching speech is a privilege. And I hear police saying this everywhere. I mean, the brainwashing's intensifying.
Well, here's the thing, Alex. A lot of those people know that the system is breaking down, and they don't know what to do about it. And we have to educate them. We have to explain to them how that we were miseducated, we were told lies and propaganda, and now we know how the system was supposed to function. And it's everybody's job, everybody in this country, we have a responsibility to bring this thing back. And I'm an optimist. I've been an optimist forever. And because it isn't any fun being a pessimist. Anyway, I think that there's a lot of government agents right today who are looking for an escape hatch. And we've got it. We found it, and we're going to make it work. I think if we can just get enough of this information spread around, you know, that sentence that I read to you out of that letter, the Seventh Amendment common law jury is the highest court in the land because even the nine justices of the U.S. Supreme Court are government agents. Anybody can understand that. When you call the U.S. Supreme Court judges, if you call them government agents, because they are government employees, they're beneficiaries of the tax laws, and those nine justices, they went to the same kind of schools we did, and they were taught the same basic bunch of lies and propaganda, and so now our U.S. Supreme Court judges are going to get an education.
Now, I want to go back for people because we're so close to the problem, Red, that we kind of skip ahead.
Yes.
Explain to folks how a jury and a grand jury is supposed to operate versus what they have been gelded and transformed into today.
Well, let me go back to our miseducation. They taught us in high school. In government class, they called it civics when I went to school. Now they call it government classes. They taught us about the system of checks and balances up to a point. They taught us about the Congress, that they were to be a check against the executive and judicial branches of government, and the executive and branch were to be a check against the Congress and the judiciary, and back and forth. They taught us that. That's all they taught when they should have been teaching us that there were two more very, very powerful and very important checks in the system. The grand jury is to be a check against Congress. They are to be a check against the executive branch of government.
That's right. They can haul in the congressmen and senators and the president as evidenced by a grand jury hauling Bill Clinton in, a grand jury from Arkansas.
He had to answer. He had to answer the questions. And the judiciary, they're not immune. They can be called in, too. Now, you got number four in the system of checks and balances, the grand jury, and number five is the Pettit jury, the trial jury. And that jury, one informed person on that jury of 12 people, one person that is informed is far more powerful than the 11 who are misinformed.
And that's why the National Bar Association 7 years ago and 5 years ago and 2 years ago at their national conference, the first time in Chicago, called for abolishing juries, and England is in the process of doing it. They have to remove, first they watered it down, made them creatures, bossed them around, turned them into these kept creatures, and then now they're just getting rid of it wholesale. Again, showing the criminality, folks.
Ron Paul, Congressman Ron Paul, who I met back about 1980, the first time. We've been on the platform many times together. He is supposed to have said that if it hadn't been for Red Beckman, we'd have lost the jury system. At this point in time, they're not going to be able to take the jury system away. As much as they would love to take it away, I don't think they can do it for the simple reason.
So they're just threatening and intimidating people into plea bargaining. But
yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, but I think that we have an excellent opportunity. We're going to have an economic catastrophe happen. It's coming down. We're on a slippery slope. There's nothing to hang on to. We're going to go over the precipice here at some point because we've let this thing go too long. But the thing is, we're going to have to pick up the pieces at some point. Now we have enough information so that we can pick up the pieces and put them back together again and go on. And this is not anything unusual in history. This same thing has happened over and over again. What goes around comes around. And we became lazy, mentally lazy, and mentally disabled in this country. But now, you know, back in the early 70s, I didn't know that there was people all over this country that thought like I did. And I was pretty lonely. But I'm not lonely anymore. There's a lot of people out there that are getting themselves informed, people at the grassroots, and they're the ones that we have to reach. They're the ones that have the power, and they may not make headlines, but they are making, well, I've never seen a time in all my life where there's so many angry people. The high gas prices, I guess, are a blessing in some ways because it's made a lot of Americans angry.
Red, stay there. Got a break again. And,
okay.
And can we keep you to about 45 after next hour?
I'll be here.
Okay, good, because we'll talk another 30 minutes or so. Then we'll open the phones up. Then I got a chemtrail news story I'm going to play at the end of the show. Stay with us.
Wish a buck was still silver. It was back when the country was strong. Back before Elvis and before the Vietnam War came along. Before the Beatles and yesterday. When a man could still work, still would. It's the best of the free life behind us now. And are the good times really over for good? And I will roll in down.
Merle Haggard bringing us in. Oh, we're definitely going to hell right now. This country's gone. Let's turn it around right now. But like Red was saying before the break, People are waking up. Red Beckman, one of the big granddaddies of Ron Paul's giving him credit, yeah, for the jury system even still existing. You were getting into the fact that the New World Order is really starting to come to fruition. People like you have been around for half a century, in some cases with Eustace Mullins even longer, telling people what's really happening. And so now we've got a lot of credibility, and people are finally paying attention and giving us the respect that are due, especially the respect you're due, Red. Please continue.
Well, I just think that, you know, great nations are always so vulnerable from within. They're never destroyed from without. And we've always got, every generation will have that certain small percentage who think that they are better than anybody else, they're smarter than anybody else, and that they should rule, that they should govern and control people. And
I don't even think it's that, Red. They just want to be slave masters and dominate and be in control.
They are mental cripples. And we had them when the Constitution was formed. The ink wasn't dry on that Constitution, and they started making plans as to how to subvert the Constitution. We had a serious constitutional crisis back there within 40 years of the ratification of the Constitution. And history tells us that there were about 600, we would call them newsletters today, they were hand-copied, they didn't have copy machines. There were about 600 newsletters, little newsletters, that started circulating amongst the states, and they educated, they got the people to understand again how the system was supposed to work, and they salvaged the system. However, it didn't take long, and we ended up in the Civil War, which was a total mistake.
And the British financed that to get that going.
Yes, yes, and it was a total mistake, and we paid a terrible price for letting, a bunch of outlaws tell us a bunch of lies and get us to believe those lies. And we recovered. We salvaged the thing, and we went on. And here we are now. And you know, some of the material that I have seen indicates that as early as in the 1920s, we had people tampering with the curricula in our schools, in our government schools.
Oh, absolutely.
And they're very patient, and. And they will work and work, underhanded, subversive.
Stay there, Red. Got to break again. Back in just 70 seconds. Absolutely. They have got to destroy the free mind, and they've done a good job of it. The secret history of the United States, secret because it's not taught in the media, the schools, is all in this little citizen rule book. We sell these at InfoWars.com at cost. At cost. We buy them from the printer, and we sell them to you at cost. Every order of an Endgame, a Terror Storm DVD, my new film Truth Rising, we put one of these in. When you have a big order, we throw a handful of them in. Citizen Rulebook has the Declaration of Independence, Constitution, Bill of Rights, famous quotes by founding fathers. There's a lot of Citizen Rulebooks out there, but this is the best because it has basically Red Beckman's info on the jury and the grand jury. This is the one put out by Outfit in Arizona. Bill of Rights, Jury Handbook. The fireworks are in the document itself. Read the Constitution. Red, how important is this little Citizen's Rulebook in the 30-plus years it's been out?
Well, I helped put that thing out, so I'm personally pretty well acquainted with it, and it has so much good information in it, and it'll fit in anybody's shirt pocket, and there is nothing that will terrorize judges and prosecutors and such as that then nothing will do anything more to terrorize them than if they see somebody, a prospective juror or a juror with that book.
So you've got to be secretive about the fact that you're going in to be a good constitutional citizen because they're lawbreakers by design. I know people who cynically buy these from us. When they don't want jury duty, they go in with it sticking out of their pocket, and the prosecutor just says, you're out of here.
Right, right. The prosecutors are well aware of that book. Now, if those prosecutors would listen, excuse me, if we could talk to them and explain this to them, they would soon come over to our side of this thing. Because they know the system is unjust, that there is injustice every day that is dished out in these courthouses and such, and they know it. And I'll tell you, if they are violating their own conscience, they're going to pay dearly at some point, because there is a creator, there is a judgment coming, and
but not just when you die, Red. I found in my life over and over again that if I do bad things, they come back on me in a few months or a year. I mean, there is something to what comes around goes around, reap what you sow.
Absolutely.
You get it in this life, don't you?
Absolutely. It can come around and bite severely. And, of course, I have seen that. I've been around long enough. I have seen that happen to people. And, you know, I sued a federal judge. He is now... his demise, I think I contributed to it, perhaps. You know, they don't have a good life. When they're fighting their own conscience, when they're violating their own conscience, that's why so many of them are alcoholics and drug addicts, because they've got to, you know, get enough alcohol in them at night to where they can go to bed and go to sleep, because they know that they're violating people every day. This plea bargaining thing, what a scam that is. And our prisons are full of people, innocent people, victimless crimes. And I'll tell you, the American people are paying a terrible high price for being miseducated. That's what it is. It's miseducation. And it's not education, it's programming.
Red Beckman, we're going to skip this break for people listening on the internet at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. Remember, for everybody else, we're going to be right back in 3 minutes to continue with Red Beckman and take your phone calls at 1-800-259-9231. We are so honored and we are so thankful for all the work of Red Beckman, an honor to have him here with us.
Have you ever thought?
Okay, Red, we're going to continue talking right now. Skip that break. Let me
put something in here. 2 cents worth. The New World Order. You just stop and think about it. There is no way that the New World Order can be brought in by a handful of scoundrels with a military conquest. It can't be done.
It has to have acquiescence in an ignorant public.
Yeah. But how do they plan to do it? Now, I figured this out many years ago, and I spoke at an investors conference in Orlando, Florida, in 1984. And the gold and silver boys were there, and one evening, it was a 5-day conference. One evening, they had an open forum, and it was the hard money people. And the hard money boys were on the platform, and they all agreed that we would have about $3,500 gold by 1987. Well, I finally, when they opened it up for questions and such, after about an hour, I got the floor. And I said, you're not going to see $3,500 gold. I'm from the West. I know what's going on in the gold business. And gold was coming out of the ground at a rate never before in history. And I said, who's buying the gold? And I said, I'm going to tell you who's buying it, and I'm going to tell you what they're paying for it. And I explained how that the Federal Reserve Bank, they go to the U.S. printing office, and in 1984, they were buying Federal Reserve $100 bills for 2.6 cents apiece. Today, they're a little over 5 cents. And gold was about $400. So the Fed was buying the gold in 1984 at about 10 cents an ounce. Now, the stuff on the Internet just last night, somebody had it on there that the powers that be have given up on bringing out the Amero. And not only that, but they're saying that the powers that be, that they're, the Euro is not as strong as it was, and I haven't followed that close here.
Yeah,
lately.
That was Robert Pastor, the big CFR guy. I say he's playing possum. They always do
mm-hmm.
that.
Oh, yeah. They're giving you the propaganda. But anyway, these scoundrels, they are going to come out with an international monetary system. It'll be worldwide. It won't be regional like the Amero or the Euro. It's going to be, when we get into this...
I'll tell you what, we're coming back to the full show right now. That was kind of a behind-the-scenes for our viewers. Recap, we're coming back right now.
Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, Red Beckman, you had just brought up Robert Pastor, the CFR minion, has said, oh, the North American Union's dead. Too many people woke up to it and got mad about it. But they always say that. They go overt for a while, then they go covert when there's too much pressure, then they go public again, then they go secret again. Continue, sir, breaking down what you were saying about the New World Order.
Yeah, well, what's going to happen, of course, is we're going to have an economic meltdown here in the very near future, perhaps just weeks away. I'm not going to say when, but it's not going to be too far away because of the way the thing is falling apart. And when they do, when this meltdown happens, they're going to come up with an international monetary system backed by gold, and I can just about guarantee you that 100%. And when they do, this is how your new world order is going to come in, because if they control the money, and of course I said in 84 that they were going to destroy the dollar, they were going to destroy the Japanese yen, they were going to destroy the Deutschmark and the Swiss franc, and all of them are being destroyed, especially the dollar, today. And they're going to issue an international monetary system backed by gold, and it will finish off every currency on the face of the earth, and you're going to have your new world order.
And that's why they've been hoarding the gold to bring in their world back currency. That's what the banking expert, who's been a banker, who made the Money Masters DVD film, he's been saying that's their plan.
Yep, and it's coming, and coming at warp speed.
Please continue. How do we protect ourselves, in your opinion?
I'm telling people to make sure that they've got some food supply, and, of course, keep their powder dry. And when this thing starts to really get serious meltdown, people are going to go hungry. And when they get hungry, you don't know what they're going to do. So you make sure
Red, that's scary, because you did predict what happened to the Japanese. You predicted other things that happened.
Yeah.
Because you've been studying this so long, you get a deep feel for what they're up to. In fact, I've never seen you be wrong. I mean, have you ever been wrong before on a big prediction?
I don't think so on this stuff, on this kind of information. I've studied it for a long time. I'm going to be 80 here pretty shortly. I've seen the 30s. I know what happened then, and of course, what happened in the 30s was a Sunday school picnic compared to what we're coming up to. In the 1930s, everybody helped everybody else. And
80% plus was rural and self-sufficient, and still, they just put out a big university study last month, 7.5 million people starved to death. Now, we've got 90% are urban, only half of the 10% that are rural are self-sufficient. This is a recipe, if it does happen, for complete meltdown.
It is, you better prepared to protect yourself and your and your family and your resources, and get out of sight if you can, because we need, you know, informed people to pick up the pieces. We need people that understand about the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. We don't want to trash can that. We don't want them writing a new Constitution. We don't want that. The Constitution that we have is such a great document. There's very little that I would ever recommend changing. The only thing that I would like to see is a list of words and their definitions. Because the Supreme Court and all of the courts, they've had a tendency to try to change the definitions of words, of keywords.
And the founders said, you don't try to invent things, don't try to twist meanings out. It's clear what all this means, and they all wrote statements and had debates, and it was clear what all of the amendments meant.
Yes, and of course, like I said earlier, the legal profession has been a serious problem, and because it's basically it's controlled out of London, England, and they have tried to bury the Seventh Amendment, and they've been pretty successful. It's fallen through the cracks, and we've drug it back up out of there, and now we just need people all over this country that will. You know, that we'll pick up on this and study that Seventh Amendment and what it means. And we've got a couple of law professors in a couple of law schools that are starting to study this, and that's a good sign. That's a good thing to happen. And of course, in the past, you've always let me give a little pitch on my books. That little book, Walls in Our Minds. I have sent it out to quite a number of people from the pitch that you've allowed on the show, and I'll do that again. I'll send that little book, Walls in Our Minds, to anybody that sends $5. I used to say anybody that send $3, but I want to include some other material with it. Particularly this letter that has been shutting the Internal Revenue Service off. I mean, it's just shutting them down. Because when it was the federal judges that created the IRS as a terrorist organization, they are the ones who created this psycho-terrorist organization because they've been prosecuting people in the courts in a show trial. These have been show trials, and the people on the juries are uninformed, miseducated. And so we've got people,
and let me just add before you get back into this, before I forget, that I loved it. Ron Paul late last year was on a national television show. It was Fox News, and they said, you want to get rid of the income tax. How are we going to live? How are we going to have a government? And Ron Paul said, that Capitol right behind me, he was at the Capitol, it was built before we had an income tax. We have scores of other constitutional forms of taxation. We had 10% growth rates on average every year before we got the income tax. It's there to bring control, and he just shut them down. We don't need police in black ski masks. We don't need checkpoints.
Right.
We don't need cameras on street corners.
Right.
We don't need CPS kidnapping 1.4 million children with no due process in kangaroo false courts, these family courts. All this is new, and it's horrible, and we all know it's horrible, but it isn't just staying at one point where it's bad. It's growing like a malignant 50-pound tumor.
Yeah, now, and we can change it now using the Seventh Amendment with civil lawsuits. And when you have a civil lawsuit against a bureaucrat or whatever, The jury determines the constitutionality of their law.
Okay, now they claim they're immune. Explain how that's a fraud and do your pitch. You've got the floor until we go to break in 5 minutes.
Yeah, there is no immunity. The Constitution gives no immunity to no one. And there's nothing sacred about a public servant. I don't care who they work for. And you see, it was judges in the courts that said that these child protective people have an immunity. Where did the judge get the authority to say that? He doesn't have that authority. He's got a conflict of interest because he is a government agent, just like the child protective man or individual. And so this thing can be shut down. That game has got to stop. We can do it. I'll tell you, there is so many things out there. All of this zoning and planning, I've been going through this with a new home, and the county and the state, they put in all this all these rules and regulations. And I told one of these engineers, I said, you're forgetting something. I'm the king in this castle. I own this property, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do, and you can approve it or not, but we're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to come to the conclusion that you're just a public servant, and you're going to have to understand that. And I'm not about to let the state tell me what I can do and what I can't do as long as I'm not infringing on somebody else's rights.
Keep going, Red. I told you. You got the floor.
Well, I'll tell you, I didn't really think about going this long, but of course I really appreciate the privilege, and so I think that perhaps going back and talking about how people need to make preparations for this meltdown that's coming. Food is the key, and it's the most important thing. And if you're in a big city, I'll tell you, I don't want to be in a big city because some of the anthropologists are saying that if the food distribution system breaks down in this country, and most of it is moved by independent truckers, and if they can't get their money for their loads, they are out of business. And the food distribution system is going to be one of the first things to go.
Well, Red, I've had you on probably 10 times over the years and never heard you talk about preparedness and things like this. You've got a keen mind for the future. You really think this is it? I mean, every financial expert I have on say within 2.5-3 years, guaranteed depression, but you're saying you think it might be even sooner.
Oh, I think that... All of the indications, as long as we've got the kind of outlaws that we've got in Washington right now, they want this power, and they're exercising power every day that is not theirs, and it's usurped power.
So you see them going for it, Red. You see them going for it. I'm going to skip this break for everybody watching on PrisonPlanet.tv and listening on the InfoWars.com streams. Red, continue. You got the floor for 4 minutes. I mean, explain to people what you see coming down.
Well, it's going to get ugly. It's going to get very ugly, and we don't know what the reaction is going to be of the masses, and particularly in the large cities, where very few people can put a meal on the table in their residence without going down to the deli or to the grocery store. And these people are so vulnerable. And with gas prices so high and everything, and that's not an accident, they're not going to be able to get out of town. And the anthropologists, some of them are saying that if the food distribution system breaks down, that we could have cannibalism in our large metropolitan centers within 5 days. That's not a very long period of time. And so the food, the warehouses for the that are servicing the major metropolitan areas don't have all that much food in their warehouses. It comes and goes on a daily basis.
Now, Red, as we enter into these dangerous waters that have been organized by design, it isn't just that 80% of people lived on farms and were self-sufficient during the 8-9 year depression, and still millions starved to death and tens of millions lost their homes by design. The bankers consolidated most of the West, many areas of the central and eastern part of the United States. But they had been through hardship before. They were tougher. They came from just a generation before that were frontiers people, really tough. I mean, my ancestors were tough here in Texas compared to me. My dad knows a lot years more about, and he's a doctor, but fixing tractors and doing work and having to fix things and how to grow things and not eating that much. And my grandfathers were a lot tougher than even I am, and I'm a lot tougher than most people around today. And so it's not just that they don't have the resources. They're not ready for a crisis. They are so apathetic and decadent, and so many of them are in denial still, Red. So I see it being that much worse.
Absolutely. And it just, you know, it could make a person ill just thinking about it, and you could go stick your head in the sand and wait for it to happen. But that's a terrible mistake at this point. And you see, of course, one of the things that I've watched so close, and that is the gun control thing, the scoundrels, you know, they've got a real problem because they have not been able to get the guns away from the American people. And it's going to be a factor, a major factor in what happens here in the days ahead. You know, and of course, you know, like I said, we're on such a slippery slope right now. And the slope is getting steeper every day. And so, you know, it's going to come down. It's going to happen. And let's get what we can prepared and make sure, like I say, it's the food. It's the food thing, and you've got to worry about your children and your grandchildren.
Okay, Red, we're coming back to the full audience. This has been 4 minutes with tens of thousands of internet listeners and viewers, but now we're going to come back to the main AM and FM dial. I am going to give you the complete floor for 5 minutes, then we're going to come back and take calls in the final segment. So, and I turn my mic off. I mean, that way, that's the only way I'm learning to control myself and let my guests talk. So this is Alex Jones controlling himself. We're going to come back, and I want you to talk about whatever you want and give your pitch. Here we go.
And who made the grade? And though the news was rather sad.
Your chance to talk to Red Beckman in the next segment, 1-800-259-9231. Jeff, Maria, Dennis, C.H., Omar, and others, 1-800-259-9231. Red, you keep talking about in the weeks to come, and I've never heard you talk like this. Ron Paul said 2 weeks ago that something big is about to happen that will basically end liberty in this country. I had him on last week, and he said economic collapse could now happen any week, any month. He's likened it before to a medical thing where somebody's about to have a heart attack. You know, the doctor says it may be a month, it may be in a year, but you're going to die of a heart failure pretty soon. Your heart's shot. Why are you saying, you know, any week? I mean, is there something you know, and then anything else you want to add?
Well, it's not just what I know, it's what I see happening on a daily basis. And I see the acceleration. It's the acceleration of things happening so rapidly. I could fill your 5 minutes with stuff, but I would like to have people order my little book, Walls in Our Minds, and I'll send them that extra material. If they send me $5, and it's Common Sense Press, the address is Common Sense Press, make it just Red Beckman. That's simpler. Just make it Red Beckman, P.O. Box 61. Carrolls, Washington, Carrolls, Washington, and it's 98609. And I want you to get the book because in the book I explain the difference between a politician and a statesman. I explain the difference between true patriotism and false patriotism. True patriotism is where people put their patriotism, they focus it on their country. False patriotism is where people they put all their hopes and everything on the government. their patriotism is focused on the government. This is what got the people in Germany in trouble with the Nazis. The Nazis were the first, Germany was the first nation to be conquered by the Nazis in World War II. And so don't put your allegiance to government. Put your allegiance to the United States of America, the country. The country will be here when this government is gone. Germany is still there. Germany was devastated by a couple of different governments in the first half of the 20th century. Germany is still there. Italy has had over 40 different governments since World War II. Over 40 different governments. Italy is still there, and you hardly ever see anything in the news about Italy because everything in Italy is working quite well. And the people are very content. They have a good economy and all, and you don't hear about them. But they've had governments, one right after another, and the people make jokes about their government. They don't let the government dictate to
them.
That's
right. Overseas, especially in Italy and places, they've learned to hate their government and not trust their government. And from that, things get a lot better. But every time you start worshiping government, it gets real bad, folks.
When you trust government, if you trust government, you're just asking for trouble. You're gonna pay a high price if you're trusting government. And so that's why we have a Constitution and Bill of Rights, because the founders said you don't trust government. You have a government of law, not men. You see, that's one of the little phrases that has been perverted. You get in court and they'll say, the judge will very piously say, well, we're a nation of law, not men. No. We were to have a government of law, not men. They perverted that.
What is it like for you? We're going to skip this break, too, and then come back with calls. And we're just going to, go right into the break. We're going to even skip the music here. Red Beckman, to see Bush, the puppet, saying there's no Fourth Amendment, to see airport scanners that scan your naked body and behavioral profiling, to see SWAT teams going into the wrong house and shooting babies and they don't even get in trouble, or to see police go beat people up and then not get in trouble. I mean, what is it? I mean, it's getting really bad. And then meanwhile, the illegal aliens are all above the law, and the police admit they're told not to arrest them.
Well, you see, we had to have the illegal aliens come in because we have murdered 40 to 50 million of our workforce in the abortion clinics. And so they had to replace those with people that will do this kind of labor. You see, 1973 was when Roe v. Wade came down. And see, those people that were aborted back there would be very much in evidence in our workforce today. Yeah. But the scoundrels, of course, you see, they wanted to bring in these illegal aliens because they would worship the government if they're getting free medical and welfare and all of that.
That's a lot better than living in
worshiping.
That's a lot
they're
better than
worship
living,
government.
Exactly. That's a lot better than growing up in a cardboard box outside Mexico City.
Sure.
And plus they're allowed to have their nationalism, that's instilled in them, but Americans, we can't have our nationalism unless it's a perverted form of let's go murder some Iraqis.
Yeah. And of course, most of us that keep an eye on things, we recognized that the Bush administration was giving us a line of lies and misinformation, and that people called me before our military went in there with their invasion, and they said, what's your take on this? And I said, our military will go through their military without any problem. But I said, you want to watch out because those people, they will kill for their religion. Their religion, you are not going to conquer their religion. And so it turned out pretty well the way I seen it happening, seen it coming. They'll die for their religion.
Yeah, they are not an American yuppie that just flies with the wind like flotsam and jetsam. They are.
Right.
You are not going to conquer their minds.
No, it isn't going to happen. Religion is a terrible thing because it just absolutely dominates people's lives and their minds. And, you know, if they get misdirected, they become very dangerous.
Red, we're going to come back out into a final segment and take some phone calls on the other side. But before we do that, in about 1 minute, I want to get your response to 9/11 and government-sponsored terrorism, because I don't think in the last, I think you've been on after 9/11. I think 5 years ago was the last time you were on, but I don't think I brought
it
up.
It's been quite a while, yes. Yeah,
so
I've been down health-wise.
You've been what?
I've been down health-wise. I've been having some serious health problems, and so I've been pretty much out of circulation on the speaker's tour and that type of thing.
But I saw you back at an event a few weeks ago, so I guess you're doing better?
I'm doing better. I got off of the Vioxx. They had me on prednisone and Celebrex and Bextra and Vioxx and methotrexate.
Why were you believing them? I mean, you know that stuff will kill you.
Well, I spent quite a bit of time in the hospital in 2003 because I was down pretty seriously, and I didn't think I was going to survive it. But
right.
I did. I've been off of all the prescription medication now for over 3 years, so.
Wow. Okay, here we go. Final segment. We're glad you're doing better. All right, I want to take some calls for Red Beckman. Huge news just got brought into me that I'll be covering when he leaves us. And I have a little chemtrail clip I want to play. How they're flaunting in our face on mainstream news. This is amazing when I was just given by Aaron. Red Beckman, your take on government-sponsored terror, Oklahoma City, 9/11, from your research, are those inside jobs?
Absolutely. Both of them had all the earmarks. I mean, it just it didn't come hard to see through that. And when 9/11 came, I was called. I never turned my television on in the morning, but a lady called and said, "Red, turn your television on." So I got to see the plane hit the second building, and I told the lady on the phone, I said, "The world will never be the same again," and it never will be.
Speaking of that, it's going up on JonesReport.com right now, and I'm going to have Steve Watson and Kurt Nemo do a story on this. I am linking through to double-check all this, but Cy Hirsch has reported how they've dressed up al-Qaeda operatives and sent them in. The U.S. now admitted this 4 years after he reported it, to attack Iran out of Iraq, which Iran's Shiite, and then the news says they're al-Qaeda when al-Qaeda is Sunni. That's how dumb they think the public is. And it says, Think Progress reporting on this, but they've got video links to it. Campus Progress Journalism Conference, Pulitzer Prize winner, Cy Hirsch of the New Yorker magazine. Headline, this is going up on JonesReport.com right now. He's posting it right now. It says, to provoke war, Cheney considered proposal to dress up Navy SEALs as Iranians and shoot at them. And then, of course, get video of that for the public. Speaking at the Campus Progress Journalism Conference earlier this month, Seymour Hersh, a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, The New Yorker, revealed the Bush administration officials held a secret meeting recently in the vice president's office to discuss ways to provoke war with Iran. And Hersh's most recent article reports that the meeting occurred in the wake of the overblown incident in the Strait of Hormuz, which it turned out was staged, when a U.S. carrier almost shot at a few small Iranian speedboats, and somebody in English was putting out a fake report, bomb them, bomb them. Turned out it was fake. The meeting took place at the vice president's office. The subject was how to create a crisis between Tehran and Washington, according to one of Hirsch's sources. And Hirsch is another person who's always been, just since Vietnam, he has the sources. He is the man. During the journalism conference event, Hirsch specifically talked about his meeting. If he could elaborate on what occurred, Hirsch explained that during the meeting, I want this writer on, in Cheney's office, they'll be on tomorrow, folks, an idea was considered to dress up Navy SEALs as Iranians and put them on fake Iranian speedboats and shoot at them. This idea intended to provoke war with Iran, which ultimately was rejected. Hirsch said, This is reportedly on tape. There are dozens of ideas proffered about how to trigger a war. That the one that interested me the most was, why don't we build, we're in our own shipyard, build four or five boats that look like Iranian PT boats, put Navy SEALs on them with lots of arms, and next time one of our boats goes to Strait of Hormuz, start a shoot-up. Just like, well, I mean, right around this same time, Gary Hart wrote a letter to Tehran saying the U.S. government will stage a Gulf of Tonkin. And it goes on here. This is an incredible... Red, this just gets crazier and crazier, doesn't it?
It's there's a desperation. I think there's almost a panic on the part of the Bush administration and Cheney and those guys because they're not able to come up with this. But what there's people that digest the information and figure out what they're really trying to do, and then they broadcast it. The internet and the computers, radio talk shows such as yours and such, it makes information available to the people, and they just can't do what they used to do without getting exposed. I think they're in a panic.
Red, you're absolutely right. I am here while you're talking, reading the rest of this. There's actually a YouTube video. He said this weeks ago, and this is just now coming out. I mean, there's so much evil, we can't even cover it all. Cy Hirsch said the New Yorker decided not to run with the story because the White House decided not to stage the event. That is outrageous that the New Yorker magazine knew about this meeting and had witnesses to this, but even Cy Hirsch wasn't basically allowed to run with it. Well, because the New Yorker said, I'm reading it right here, said, well, they didn't stage that, so we're not going to report on it. This is incredible, Red.
They are in a panic, and of course, you see, they've let this thing get away on the economic scene, and now it's out of there. There's no way. There's no way that they can pull this thing out of the fire. It's going to,
and they're gonna set off a nuke or something.
It's going to swallow them in the process.
No, I'm just freaking out. I mean, I agree with you, and probably swallow us in the process. What do we do?
No. The little people at the bottom are always the ones that survive.
The meek shall inherit the earth.
Yeah. The little people at the bottom are always the ones that survive. There's too many of us. But those people at the top, I'll tell you, there's going to be some war crimes trials, should be, and I think there will be. You know, there's more and more people on a daily basis that are saying, "Oh, George W. has got to be impeached."
They don't understand, though, he is just a puppet in the front. But I agree, both political parties have been discredited, evidenced by the Gallup polls coming out, 9% approval ratings for Congress, the lowest in history by many points. What's going to happen to all that as the economy implodes and there's millions more cops, revenuers, bureaucracies? What are they going to do as it comes out their bosses are terrorists, as the whole government is discredited? What are all they going to do?
We'll have to wait and see what they're going to do, but they're going to be in a very uncomfortable position. They're going to be in trouble up to their eyeballs.
But, I mean, there's going to be no more money to squeeze out of little old ladies on the side of the road.
No. Right.
No more people to SWAT team and kill for fun. I mean, I guess the whole party's over for them, huh?
The party's going to be over. No question about it. That's why I'm an optimist.
I don't know. What if they set off a nuke and then prance around as saviors? They could do anything.
Well, there could be a lot of people that get hurt real bad, but there'll be lots of little people that'll still be around.
No, but I mean, you know, the globalist will kill a million of us in a blink of an eye, and I see these bastards setting off a couple A-bombs so they can prance around in their fancy suits and be loved by the idiot population. I just hope the people out there stop being idiots, folks. This isn't a game. These people.
It could happen, they're going to pay. They're going to get caught. They're going to get trapped in their own filth, in their own sin, their own scheming and such. They're going to trap themselves.
Oh God. Let's take some calls. Jeff in Detroit, you're on the air with Red Beckman.
Hey, Alex. Alex Red, it's an honor to be on the radio with you guys. I just got two questions for you, Red. Are you guys there?
What?
Caller, we're here, brother. We're talking to you on air right now.
Okay, great.
That's all I can do is just go to you.
Where's the legal authority as it pertains to local ordinances and especially permits?
They claim that comes from the state, but most of that is fraudulent as well.
Those are all fabricated by public servants, and they're not Congress, they're not state legislatures and all that. And, of course, our state legislatures and our Congress, their credibility rating is, they tell me that the credibility rating of our Congress in Washington is even lower than the credibility for George W.
No, it is. It's 9%. W is like 19. Cheney's at 9. Okay, Jeff, good to hear from you. We're going to go to Maria in Deutschland. Maria, you're on the air from Germany.
Yeah, hi, yeah. It's all about beating off the Aryan race. You know, Hitler started it in Germany. He was Aryan race. He never was for the Germans. He killed millions of Germans, you know? And then he was supposed to be, the people also bad. The humans can do also much badness. Nah, the Germans were busy fighting. The walls, all the fucking walls that Hitler put him in, you know what I mean? My dad was fighting the war. Then he came back from the war, then he was in a prison camp. Then more people got killed, you know? Then people are, you know, the best knowledge for people is really do not do what a Nazi tells you to do, because he is against you. Just like Bush said, are you with us or against us? No, he is against us, yeah? So somebody told my dad, yeah, you have to wait in queue and get on that thing, and this is going to go get you to that camp. And my dad and the maid of his, you know, they were in prison camp. They cupped themselves on after a while. And my dad said, let's not be too quick on this. You know, there's something dodgy, yeah? And they sneaked off, and they found a rabbit at night somewhere, and they found a family where they could crash overnight. And later, years later, he found out everybody on that, where they were supposed to go on, you know? And my dad is German, yeah? Everybody on that thing got killed in the next prison camp, and that was by the other Aryan race. So I want to tell you about the Aryan race. Yeah, I've got a website at www.bilderberg.de/.
Okay, well, check it out. Thank you for the call from Germany. Denise in Arkansas, you're on the air with Red Beckman.
Hey, I really appreciate the information and the opportunity to prepare. I'm a wife and a mom, and I'm trying to prepare for my family. My husband is not awake. He gets angry when I try to talk to him about this and try to wake him up, so I have to feed him, you know, just little bits and pieces. But my question is about the imminent collapse of the dollar, and I'm really worried. My husband's at an age where he can cash out his 401k, but he'll have to pay a penalty. Is it in our best interest to cash that out and pay off our house, so that at least we don't lose the value of that? We have our house paid off. And I also had a question about the red, blue, yellow list, where they're pulling people over, you know, for no reason and trying to get their info, trying to take their name. Is that the purpose, to put them
yes,
on a list?
Yes, it's all part of training you to be pulled over, to be questioned, to be interrogated. It's all come out, and it's now happening. As for list, it's declassified that they do have a list of people they plan to kill immediately, like me and Red Beckman and I, and many others they plan to take for re-education. This isn't a joke. It's now not Red Beckman telling you this 35 years ago because he had military contacts. It is now in the newspaper telling you it's good. So I appreciate your call. Let's get Red's take on what, you know, I'm not giving financial advice. We're covering what's happening, and then it's up to you to make your own personal decisions. Red?
Well, it's not a time to think about how you can invest a dollar, save your fortune. Basically, you want to think about saving your life and the life of your friends and your family, wait until this thing goes through, this storm goes through, and hope that you can survive. But protecting your wealth is That's not going to do it, I don't think.
Well, I know this. I mean, I've got 4 acres out in the middle of the country that I just happened to get from a side issue, not even by design. I'm trying to look at some property, you know, where I can run out with an RV and I got a lot of food and guns if I have to, or we've got family family property 3 hours away, but I don't even know if I could make it out there, or if the people in that area are seem so brainwashed. My God, they probably think freedom's evil and might hang me for it. So, you know, and it's not just the area. It's not just having a place to run to. It's who's in that area. I mean, it's just everything's going to hell in a handbasket, and it's all this blind worship of government that's done it. Red Beckman, I want to have you back up in the near future. I knew back in 2003 when I tried to get you on, you were in the hospital. We prayed for you here on air. I'm glad you're doing better. Fire out your address one more time for people.
My address is just Red Beckman at P.O. Box 61, Carrolls, Washington. That's C-A-R-R-O-L-L-S, and the zip is 98609. I'm out in Washington rather than in Montana because I have family here that wanted me where they could keep an eye on me and take care of my missus if something happens to me. So I still love Montana, and I'd prefer to be there, but I'm not there right now. But if they kill me, Alex, it's a promotion.
Well, Red, it's great having you. It's great being able to spend time with you and so many other great Americans and people around the world. And, Red, God bless you.
And good Lord be good to you, too.
Thank
you.
Keep
talking.
Thank you, Red. Yeah, I'm not even worried about them killing me. I'm worried about all the innocent people that have no idea what's going on. I just can't believe it. Dying Corps Halliburton run child kidnapping rings. They're poisoning troops with chemical, biological testing, shooting everybody up with deadly vaccines, knowing it, giggling, moron, yuppies, walking around smirking about everything. John, I know I wanted to play that chemtrail clip, but we now have the Cy Hirsch audio clip we just sent to you. It's up on JonesReport.com right now, folks. That Cheney wanted to provoke war by dressing up Navy SEALs as Iranians, putting them in patrol boats, and having a staged firefight, having the Navy SEALs shoot at our ships. It's a long clip. Do you have it, John?
It's loading up right now.
Let's just start now with the chemtrail clip, and we'll come in the next segment with it. Here's a newscast about how they're spraying stuff to control the weather, and then what they mention they're spraying is, by the way, poisonous. So go look it up for yourself in the chemical ingredients. Here it is.
Mother Nature. Weather modification is a growing trend both here in Northern California and around the world. So does it work? And why do some people say it could do more harm than good? KTVU Health and Science editor John Fowler has tonight's special report.
California sure could use more rain. Tender dry forests are burning at a record pace. Drought proclamations have millions of Bay Area water users cutting back or paying more. And climate experts predict we're in for decades of unpredictable supply. The state's top water forecaster says we're on the edge right now.
If next winter is wet, everything will be fine. If it's dry, we will be in a real drought.
Rain! So what about making rain? Burt Lancaster's character was based on a real-life Californian who claimed 500 rainmaking successes, including a San Diego flood. Charles Hatfield died a half century ago without revealing his secret, but his successors are hard at work here in downtown San Francisco at PG&E headquarters up on the 16th floor, the weather office, where the utility's top weatherman, Byron Marler, studies charts and satellite pictures. Marler's job is to change weather, although he won't say it that way.
We're really not changing the overall picture of the weather in the Sierra Nevada, with the exception of causing a little more snowfall over some of the watersheds. 5 to 10% additional water.
And then later in the newscast, they admit they're spraying all over the country. And this is a cover for larger programs. We're going to come back. Stay with us.
Yeah.
Babylon System is the Vampire. This out from Think Progress, just now posted on JonesReport.com and, of course, Infowars.com. There's video there. I'm going to play some audio of it in just a moment, but go to JonesReport.com. It's right there on the top of the page, easy to find. Exclusive to provoke war, Cheney considered proposal to dress up Navy SEALs as Iranians and shoot at them. He told the press this privately and on the stage at a Campus Progress journalism conference, but Cy Hirsch said they decided not to run with it because the plan wasn't green-lighted by the Pentagon. See, that's why Admiral Fallon and others have been coming out warning about false flag, and Ray McGovern, and even Gary Hart saying the U.S. may stage terror attacks. They do it all the time, but they need the main military to be part of it, so they said no. Now, when they used foreign client states and others, they did carry out their 9/11. Navy SEALs in patrol boats pulling up on video, shooting at the destroyers and missile frigates. Unbelievable. To provoke war, Cheney considered proposal to dress up Navy SEALs as Iranians and to have them shoot back and forth at each other for the news cameras and for the cattle that just want to be raped and go into World War III and have $10 a gallon gas. Here's the audio, ladies and gentlemen.
Anyway, there was a meeting among the items considered and rejected, which is why the New Yorker did not publish it, on grounds that it wasn't accepted. One of the items was, why not? There was a dozen ideas proffered how to trigger a war. The one that interested me the most was, why don't we in our shipyard, build four or five Iranian boats that look like Iranian PT boats, put Navy SEALs on them with a lot of arms, and the next time one of our boats goes through the Straits of Hormuz, start a shoot-up. Might cost some lives. And it was ejected because you can't have Americans killing Americans. But that's the level of stuff we were talking about, provocation. But that was rejected. So I could understand the argument of not writing something that was rejected.
Okay. No, they put that out to the brass to see if they'll be part of the evil. Operation Northwoods to stage terror attacks like 9/11, dress up U.S. troops like foreign troops, attack our bases, shoot Americans in Miami. It's all there. That was green-lighted and carried out in the Gulf of Tonkin, and of course then at the USS Liberty, now declassified. All you that said it wouldn't be now admitted Israel attacked the ship, working with the White House to try to sink it. Chicago Tribune admitting they knew it was an American ship. It was a staged event. Absolutely unbelievable. We'll have more detailed articles adding in the other info. I think this is outrageous that the New Yorker didn't publish this. This shows the mindset and what they're doing. Folks, if we don't get the word out, they're going to continue staging more terror attacks, period. Now is the time to have a revelation of understanding of who the real terrorists are. In closing, here at the end of the show, what makes this broadcast possible is supporting our sponsors that you see on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And that you hear about on this radio show, and by buying the books and videos and materials that we carry and that I've produced that are in the online video and bookstore at Infowars.com. So don't wait. Infowars.com. Get Truth Rising. Expose the government terror. Our future depends on it. They're going to keep staging attacks and take all your freedoms, folks. They've built death camps. Only hope you've got is to expose they're behind it. Acoloblue.com is a great atmospheric water generator. It's absolutely fabulous. You can run it off a solar panel or plug it into the wall. The 7.5 gallons a day in wet areas, 2.5-3 gallons in desert. Atmospheric water generator. We got it in the office. It's amazing. 866-585-4044. 866-585-4044. Or acolablue.com. Big banner on Infowars.com. If you forget the web address, acolablue.com. All right, here is the deal. We had a bunch of important news today and key info for the last 4 hours. If you missed any of it, the audio retransmits now. T-minus 5 seconds at Infowars.com. Infowars.com.